Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council Work Session of February 27th, 2006. We have two items to talk about, purchasing and the Boards and Commissions Chairman Authority. Mr. LaDuke, please.
The first item is on purchasing. It was brought up at last meeting whether or not we should increase the amount when there's a person inside the city with a bid versus someone outside the city. Currently, we allow a preference of 5%, but there's a maximum $2,000 limit on it. We had Bill check with numerous cities, which you have a listing on in your package. Only one other city, actually a couple other cities had a little bit higher than we did as far as the maximum, but it only went up to $3,000, and the 5% that we had was as high as it went anywhere in the state. So we'll bring that back to you to decide if you want to change it or not, and if so, how much would you like to change it by? And Bill is here tonight to answer any questions you have concerning, he's the one that did the survey.
Okay, thank you, sir. Anyone like to comment on this to start out with the comment?
I'd like to see it raised to about 5,000, but just because I'd like to see local businesses, I'd love to see some local business signs on some of these projects, but I don't, as Bill Huggins pointed out last time, I mean, there aren't hundreds of cases where this occurs, so I don't think we're going to get burned very badly, whatever we do. And I do think that we know that local businesses pay a lot of taxes, as we talked about the other night at the chamber thing. But I'd like to hear what other people think.
I just had a question. If we get a company from out of state or out of town, not necessarily out of state, to come in, don't they also have to get a business license in order to do business in the city as well?
Yes, and they will,
okay, so
and they will have to pay double the amount.
So then everybody who does business has to have that business license anyway, so...
Correct.
Right, it's just the property taxes and the other fees and things that they pay that makes a difference, I think.
Okay.
But... Has this come up before? We've had someone complain to the city about missing a bid by $3,000?
Well, I don't know. Bill can help
Bill
with that answer, Don.
To my knowledge, Don, no.
Not recently. I'm not aware of anything recently.
Yeah. So we're trying to correct something. It's not a problem.
I haven't noticed a problem yet.
I thought you said you'd had some complaints.
Well, the complaints we had were not about local vendor preference, I don't believe. I think that was a different issue, wasn't it? As I recall, that was about the ability to, or was it? I was thinking about the appeal process. I believe it was the appeal process that, and of course we recently did an ordinance amendment to put in place a formal appeal process in case you weren't comfortable with the outcome of a bid, so that you'd have an opportunity to appeal that outcome and get heard on that issue. But I don't think that related to the local vendor preference.
Now, I know that in years past there have been complaints about individuals not being on the bid list because maybe nobody knew they had that kind of business or knew that they could provide that service and didn't know to put them on a list to fax them or email them or whatever to get them to send in a bid. But I think we have... and you can help me with this, Bill. We have worked through that mostly and are doing a pretty good job, and maybe, if anything, maybe we need to expand the list to include more people if that is a problem currently. But that's kind of what I remember being.
Yeah, we're trying to use an online system now, and trying, we'll be promoting that to have people come into that and register. It's actually through DemandStar, which is that online bidding service, but you can register with them, and that gives us a running database, essentially, of people who are interested in doing business with the city. So that would be, we were hoping to make that the best way we can to develop a good database of it. In the past, a lot of the vendor list issues have been handled department by department. You know, each department kind of had a good sense of people that were handling issues or handling goods and services that pertain to their department. But we're trying to make that a more centralized thing now.
Bill, did the losing bidders have access to how much they lost? I mean, did they get to see the bids?
Sure.
Okay.
They could see anything they want pertaining to it. Right. If it's a...
So you knew if they lost about $1 or $1,000?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, they could see any of the data. If there's a formal bid process and somebody has to submit a not only bid sheets but specifications and all that sort of thing, they can see any of that. It's obviously all public record, so we try to let everybody know the outcome of a bid so they have an opportunity to respond to that if they wish.
I'd like to say two thoughts on this. I worked a great deal of my time with DuPont Company in purchasing, and of course they didn't give anything off to anybody. It was a low bid and that's it. I realize this might be a little bit different, but even in the vicinity of where we were doing the purchasing up in Wilmington, Delaware, they still didn't have anything for the locals. On the other hand, Jane, I understand your point, and I certainly think we ought to, and we have been, doing something for our local vendors. I would be willing to increase it to the highest that we have here of anyone, which is $3,000. You know, it's kind of a compromise from what you wanted, but I'd be willing to do that if council wants to do that. I think that would be fair.
I'd do anything to support a small business myself, so I don't have a problem.
Someone's got a better idea, a different idea.
Fine.
You want to do that then? Is that satisfactory? Okay, Mr. Manager.
And then also keep it at 5%, the current 5%.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We'll go ahead and get that change back to you in the next council you move to.
If they want to register with this online, they just go to aiken.net or something and...
That's right, but I'm going to establish a link shortly that's even better than what we have up there now, so they can go directly to DemandStar more easily and register there. It's a free service to be able to do that, and that way we don't have to maintain it directly on our system. We just use that service, and they can go there. So I'm trying. We'll make a clean link straight to that, so they can register right, straight to DemandStar, and that way we've got something that we can keep in our, system.
And you'll let us know when that's all ready.
Yes, ma'am. We'll be doing that soon.
Okay.
Let you know.
Thank you, Bill.
The next item that I wanted to bring your attention, this was brought to me, my attention, by five different council members during this past week. It appears that during the last Planning Commission meeting that the chairman was asked, or the Planning Commission was asked, to appoint someone to be on the green space, open space plan, so that we would know how best to spend the 1 cent sales tax money that we have $1 million on, just like you have also asked numerous other committees to do this, and we're doing this also with the underground wiring. The chairman at that meeting recommended that Joe Daniels be on that committee. At that meeting, a couple of other members of the commission felt that they or someone else should be on that committee. And so there's some question whether or not the chairman has the authority to make a recommendation for these various committees and task force. I asked Ed to look into this, and Bill looked into it with some other committees, and historically it appears that the chairman of these various boards and commissions have appointed different people to be on these boards. But when Gary Smith looked it up to determine exactly what does the law say or the regulations, there is nothing there that says the chairman has the authority, nor does it say anything in there that says he doesn't have the authority. Given the fact that it doesn't say he has the authority, would lead us to believe that he does not have that authority, but this is just something we historically have done. Since this has come up as a question, I felt it only fair to bring it up to City Council to determine whether or not Council would like to have the chairman of the various boards and commissions have the ability to appoint members to head up these special committees or task force. So we'll bring that to Council tonight to discuss.
Well, actually, my problem with it in the first place was it seemed very arbitrary that one person on a commission could choose this person, and as I understood it, it was being chosen to be chairman of the committee to be formed. And so that does not make any sense to me at all. I know, and I'm glad that the law bears this out, that the chairman don't really have that authority. Seems to me, just as an act of comedy, something like this, the chairman would ask for volunteers amongst his committee, discuss it with them, and if there were more than one, as we've done here on council, you take a vote and decide who should represent them, but not to have one man dictate who it's going to be.
And what's the purpose of having a chairman if he doesn't have any authority to do anything?
Don, I don't think there's no... I'm sorry, you're asking Dick. Go ahead.
Yeah. He chairs the meetings.
I know that.
Just as I would make the analogy, in fact, with the mayor, who is one of seven and has certain defined duties that he carries out, but they're rather limited in nature, and otherwise he just has a vote.
Why, you know, they had two appointments during that meeting. Why was only one of them challenged?
I don't know what the other one was.
Well, I think somebody appointed, or I'm sure Mr. Wolts appointed Mr. Joby.
Yeah, Cook. I read one thing. Roger, you said that...
Ed, would you mind, please?
It was a recommendation by the chairman. Not a recommendation. He made the appointment outside the meeting and presented it to us as a fait accompli and told us that he had the authority to do it. We asked why there was no discussion. There was no discussion. He simply said he made the appointment. And it was done outside the meeting. It was not done. He told us he made the appointment. Now, he did ask me in the meeting and ask people around if I would serve on the Underground Wiring Committee, and I said I would.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
After reading this and looking at this, precedent has been established. I don't mind rule changes. But when precedent has been established and you have got a person in question for an appointment and then you change the rules in the middle of the game, I take issue with that. Rules change before or after, but not at the time, particularly when you look at the past with other appointments that have been made by the chair. Now, I'm just hearing this information in terms of outside. That's different than what I've heard, Mr. Giobbe. So that's new information. But I take issue with the fact that here is an appointment made by the chair with someone that wants to serve, that wants to do a quality job, that is just a volunteer, unpaid volunteer, and suddenly we're saying that he doesn't have enough experience, he's new on the job. These are the things that I'm hearing.
Okay. Leslie, thank you. I've got to take exception with that. I have 20 years of experience on this council. Tom's tells me, and I think it's provable, that the reason a chairman might say, okay, you take that task force, is because no one else wants it. No one else steps forward. We've seen that on this council. To my knowledge, that's always happened on this council, except the fairly recent situation we had with the Aiken Corporation, where Don had a position and he was nominated for the other position, which I think was the executive committee. Jane was also nominated for that position. So all of a sudden, first time that I can ever remember, we had two people that wanted the position. Neither one of them would necessarily give in, and that's not a problem. I mean, I'm not criticizing either person for that. But in that case, it's very simple. We voted on it, and obviously one person got the job. This comment here, and Roger and I talked about it a little bit. Historically, chairmen have done this. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. I think, and I think it can be proven, that the reason that's the case is one person might speak up and say, yes, I would like to do that, and no one else speaks up to say that they want to do that for whatever reason. Maybe nobody wants that job, you know, and there's one person that really wants it. Maybe a case where no one wants to say, well, you know, I don't want to challenge anybody, so let so-and-so have it. But in a case, I think we've opened the door to how we ought to do it. I think we did it on council. We had two people wanted the job. Very simply, you vote on it, issue closed. And there's no authority given to the commissions, no authority to the mayor to do any appointing. It's just simply not there. And I don't think we can just start assuming that we have authority for this, we have authority for that. That's not there. And whatever happens on this issue, I think in the future, if this case arises, we should vote on the issue. If you have more than one person that wants to be the chairman or whatever of a task force, And that's it. And that ends it. We do this all the time. Majority rules, we go on to the next issue. Mm-hmm. Here we are in a situation where we have to take time to talk about this kind of thing. When I think if we all think back, is there any other occasions you can think of where more than one person wanted something and we had a problem with that?
Did more than one person want this particular position?
I'm led to believe that they did. Maybe I'm missing something.
I thought what I heard, and I might be wrong, but I thought the objection was that the individual named was approached before the meeting started. Is that what I understood, Mr. Yeah. And that there may have been exceptions to that. Not so much to the individual, but to the way it was done. Right. Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if they'd been approached in the meeting, it'd been the same thing. I mean,
Right.
Someone else that wanted that position, were there two people in?
There was no discussion.
Well, okay. Why
did you object then? I guess that leads to that question.
Who objected? I mean,
Wilkesburg.
I'd like to participate in this. I was a member of the Preservation Commission for 6 years. Robert McCrary, Bob Newbern, Greg Smith were the chairman during that period of time. There was never a subcommittee that we didn't in the open meeting say, is anybody interested in this? In fact, I remember I was a city council member on to attend Planning Commission when Bill Reynolds took over the tree thing. And he was the only one that wanted to do it, but it was brought up in the meeting. We need someone to chair this subcommittee. Who is interested? And I think all we're asking is that minimum request, not I've appointed so-and-so to do this, period, but this is something we need to do. All the committee members are volunteers, all of them. And if they're particularly interested in something, maybe that's why they volunteered. And it would be a shame for the chairman not to at least couch it in those terms. And then whoever, like you said, whoever the commission wants to choose, they may choose. But historically, on the commission I was on, that was not the precedent.
I don't think you're hearing me as I'm stating. I just said Mr. Giobbe brought additional information. I was of the impression, based on what I heard, that in an open session, this gentleman wanted to serve as the subcommittee chair and was appointed amongst...
He was not present.
Okay.
Let me tell you what this sounds like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Mayor, but, you know, before all of our meetings, we have prayer, don't we? And all the people who normally do the prayer don't always start a prayer and defer to somebody else. That's something you arrange prior to the meeting, is that correct?
Sure.
You go to someone and say, would you do prayer tonight? I would imagine, and this is just, you know, I have headed some social groups, and just before the meeting, if I know I have a committee appointment to make and I have a big job ahead, I might say to someone, would you mind, I might even call them up before we start, get to the meeting place, would you mind if I appoint you to this? Would you be willing to serve if I appointed you to this? And you kind of get prior approval, so you don't look like you don't know what you're doing when you go to your meeting. So you ask somebody ahead of time. And I would imagine that might have been all he did, was he approached this gentleman, it was a gentleman, yeah, and asked him if he would take on this responsibility. He said yes. And he got to the meeting, and he said, I've asked so-and-so to take this job. I'm assuming, since there's no pay involved, since it's no honor involved, since it's work involved, that might have been what he was thinking. I'm just trying to find a reason why he could have done that ahead of time, because I know that those things are done ahead of time. So tell me if that doesn't sound like what might have happened.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, while Mr. Giobbe's coming up, I just wanted to clarify where I was coming from on all of this. The impression that I was left with was that someone had appointed somebody to serve in a particular role on a particular commission or subcommittee. And the question to me was, is that something that our rules allow? And in my view, our rules do not allow one member or a chairman of any of our commissions or our city council to take an action where such a person would be appointed. I think the commission or the council or whoever has to vote and vote it up one way or the other to do that. And you may well be right. There may have been instances in the past where we said, okay, this guy wants to be chairman. Does anybody else want to be chairman? Nobody else wanted to be chairman. And so it was essentially passed by acclamation. The question that was presented to me was, can the planning commission chairman appoint somebody to serve as chairman of a subcommittee? And I believe the answer to that question is no.
Yeah. Chairman told us, the chairman of the planning commission told the rest of the planning commission that Joe had called him and asked for this position. And chairman said, you're appointed. Came to the meeting and said, I've made this appointment.
Again, this is a voluntary subcommittee, and I am assuming that since this is, and I'm going to emphasize, a voluntary subcommittee, that we've had in the past subcommittees on tree preservations, the old master plan of Aiken, just many other subcommittees, and people volunteer for these things. The only concern I see is that it wasn't brought before the entire group, but again, we're in the middle of the stream with people, someone having been told that they would work with this. And again, it's work for someone to do. Precedent had already been established. I'm assuming that this person just assumed that he could do this thing, since the precedent had already been established with other subcommittee appointments in the past.
So there's no problem with the individual, it's just the way in which it was done, is that correct?
I think that's
logical. Okay. So what do we hope to do here tonight?
I think what's before us is whether or not we will give authority. Right now there's nothing that says they have authority. So it seems to me, Gary, you can help me out on this. It seems to me that's the real question going forward. Going into this particular situation and forward, I would say, because that's what we're talking about.
You know,
and then we'd have to make that, we'd have to make that a part of the ordinance, that the chairman has permission, if the majority of council see it that way.
Well, I would really opt for the other way, which is that no individual member of a commission has the authority. That's the way the law is right now. I don't see why we would change it, but everybody should understand it.
I opt that way too. I'm just saying that you asked where do we go from here, Beverly, to me that's the real question. Do we want to change what we're doing and what I think we have been doing, or not? Gary,
give you 2 cents here.
Well, it costs more than 2 cents.
Oh, it does. Yeah, that's right.
If this is a, I don't know how many people were supposed to be appointed to this subcommittee. There's only going to be one person appointed to the subcommittee itself. Right now, what you do is each member of council votes on a member that you want to appoint to the Planning Commission, all the various commissions, and almost all of those commissions have 7 members. The process is I appoint the person I want to do it.
Sure.
And
It is different.
In the future, to me, the only way the person could be appointed is if the entire commission voted on it and the particular person won the majority of the votes. But council could, if you wanted in the future, when you establish these subcommittees, make it clear that this subcommittee will be a person of one or whatever that is, and you can specify that they would be voted on. But to my way of thinking, in order to have this person to be voted on by the Planning Commission, you really don't have to do anything. The rules are already in place. The Planning Commission can only act by way of voting in public session. And so in order for this person to be appointed by the Planning Commission, the Planning Commission would have to do that vote.
So we could just leave it as it is and ask that happen. That's
correct.
All we need to do is say, be sure it's brought up in front of the whole commission.
That's correct.
You know, this is something that in my discussion with even previous chairman of the Planning Commission, that this is something that's been done for the past 20 years.
No.
The mayor, you just said yourself that at times it's very difficult to find a volunteer for a particular committee. What does, if we don't give the chairman, and we have good commissioners, and out of those good commissioners, they have themselves elected a chairman. Now, to me, the chairman was elected by the commissioners, and he should have some authority in appointing a person to a committee. Now, you may need to take that into consideration when you're selecting your new chairman, if you don't like the fact that he has or has had in the past the authority to appoint someone. Now, what's going to happen when we leave this as it is, and the chairman of a committee says, I would like to have a volunteer to serve on this committee, and no one stands up? Does he come back to you or come back to us and say, we had no volunteers?
No. Then during the committee meeting, with the other members of the committee present, commission present, he makes an appointment. That's what I was saying happened.
So you're saying it's okay to make an appointment at a certain time?
I think it's okay if the entire commission is there. I think my commission, the person I appointed to the commission, I want them to have some input. And if they choose not to serve or if they want to support someone else, I want them to have the opportunity to do that. I don't want it to be announced as a fait accompli in a meeting. I think that's a mistake. And I know when Mr. Reynolds went on the tree commission that it was discussed during the meeting. He didn't come and say, Bill Reynolds, you are the chairman of the tree commission or whatever it was, or committee.
Otherwise, I think that there's some members that, as far as it's my understanding that this appointment was made because this was a new member on the commission, and he had not previously served on any other committees. And I think that that's very fair. I don't think that the commission chairman should continuously select the same person to sit on the different committees.
So I just don't.
I think it's very fair.
I don't think we should. This is a volunteer group. They give up their time and their energies, and it's for no pay. And I don't think that we ought to have such hard and fast rule that they don't feel comfortable serving and serving in a willing capacity. I think that we would be kidding everybody in that audience if we were to sit here and say to them that we never, ever discuss with somebody ahead of time, do you want to do this? I think we do that. I think even before we appoint somebody to the Planning Commission, we must go to them and say, do you want to do this? So yes, we do it ahead of time. There are other commissions out there, and I think it expedites the time that they have, their volunteer time, when you arrange ahead of time for someone to serve in a capacity. And if somebody calls you up and you're the chairman and say, I really want to do this, I really, really want to do this, and you're not being paid, I don't know that it's such a bad idea to say, let's appoint so-and-so. Now, what I may take exception to is saying to the other members that you have to accept this simply because they volunteered ahead of time. I would take exception
to that. That's the whole point of the thing, really.
But I don't want to. Do we want to tie their hands and people are not free to volunteer ahead of time?
But let me say, if one, you mean the volunteer who gets there first is the one who gets the job instead of letting the committee decide?
But I don't think there was another person that wanted it.
We don't. You never knew. It was never asked.
Just so it's clear, I didn't say there's anything wrong with somebody talking to somebody about a potential appointment. I don't believe there's anything wrong with defining to somebody interested in the job.
I agree with that.
Well, it's right in here in the minutes. They objected at the time, saying they wanted to discuss it, and he wouldn't do it.
I mean, it's a matter of style, and I think we need to clear it up. And I think the answer is that all the chairman of the various boards and commissions should know that the style is at least that you present the name to the commission, and they either say no, yes, or maybe, whatever they're going to say.
Well, I think that's fair.
I think and that wasn't done, and that's the reason we're having the argument. And Don, you mentioned that the previous chairman said, we've always done it that way. There's nothing that gets me more upset at times than we've always done it that way. That didn't make it right. We had a very strong chairman.
Didn't make it wrong either.
Well, one thing that might make it wrong, depending on how you look at it, is that there's no authority to do it, and there never has been any authority to do it. Now, whether or not it's been done, okay, you can argue that all day. I think there are reasons why, and I've stated them already, because perhaps no one else wanted it, and there are lots of reasons. But the bottom line to this whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, is there's no authority to do it. Now, if we're going to do it, I think we ought to change the rules, the ordinance, or whatever, to put it in there. The chairman has authority to make appointments. Now, if that's what council wants to do, then that's fine. We can do
put
it
in there. Maybe.
Well, we can do that. We have to bring it back, and we can't vote on that now.
We've got a lot of illegal committees out there, then.
Well, we haven't had an illegal meeting in the Preservation Commission. I've been to Parks Commission meetings, and I talked to my representative on the Parks Commission. They don't have a chairman that makes appointments without ever discussing it with anybody in the commission. I don't find this a precedent. I don't think it is, except perhaps on this one commission. And I don't think that every time it was. So I'm going to take issue with that. And I think the motion, if you were to make it, would be that you move that the commission chairman appoint members without discussion.
I mean, we're looking at it right here. We're looking at who was appointed to what commission.
Well, whatever we do, it's got to be on an open agenda, and this is a work session, so that would be at least the next meeting if council wants to put it back on the agenda for the next meeting. And we'll come to a vote on it, and we'll see which way it goes. And that's the way it ought to be done.
You want to put it on the agenda?
Not this one.
I mean for the
next meeting. Is that what you want to do?
No.
I'm not dictating here.
I want my appointee to have something to say about this.
I certainly do, too. And for 20 years, my appointees have had something to say about things. And this just strikes me as really an interesting situation here. There is no authority for chairman to make appointments on their own. There's no authority for me. You're going to give me authority to do this now? No, because that's different. I'm paid, right? I mean, is that the rationale here? If you're going to give the chairman of the board's responsibility and authority, well, how about the mayor?
I don't want it. If you want it, I'll vote for it.
I like the way we do it. I like the way we do it. It's a democratic majority rule, and I think that's the way it ought to continue. But that's up to the majority of council. So we'll put it. What's the pleasure? Do we have a consensus here? They want to put it on the agenda?
I'm willing to put it on the agenda.
I'm going to talk it out. I think it needs to be resolved.
I think it needs to be resolved.
All right. It'll be on the agenda then.
Okay.
Next meeting. Does that satisfy everybody?
Mm-hmm. I take it then that you would like to have on the agenda at the next meeting that the chairman would have the ability to have the authority to appoint individuals to be on committees.
Without commission discussion. That's the point, right?
No, I didn't say without commission discussion.
Well, all we're asking is that they have commission discussion.
I'm just saying that, you know, that it should be his ability to appoint someone to a committee. Now, whether that's done, you know, in a commission meeting or whether that's done outside, now, I didn't say either one, but I think that the chairman should have that priority of appointing someone. Now, he was elected, mind you, or she may be elected. Now, the committee elected that person to serve as chairperson.
I think Robert's Rules of Order states that when you have a chairperson that they could at least make appointments. Is that not right?
I don't think so. Not what I read. No. I had an occasion, just incidentally, not even associated with this, to read through my Robert's Rules. Of course, Gary can straighten us out on that real quick. And I did. I read a little brief summary yesterday from my wife, really. She wanted it. And I didn't see anything about the chairman has this responsibility to make appointments or anything like that. But maybe they did.
I don't mind.
Okay. You've already stated that.
I mean, I don't mind discussing it, but I think it's a waste of time. I think all we're asking is that commission chairman at least ask the entire commission if anyone's interested in chairing subcommittees. I don't think that's a terrible thing to ask. And I think that's been certainly a precedent that I thought was being followed.
Well, Jane, you're saying that as far as you're concerned, the chairman has the authority to do this just inside the meeting, not outside.
No, I think that it should be brought up to the members of the commission like the law says, like I thought was being done. And then the commission talks, and if there has to be a vote, there's a vote. But most of the time, there's no vote. Like you said, people just discuss it.
Right.
And I don't see that we have that problem. We just need to clarify that this is the way it needs to go. I don't see why we need to spend more time in a meeting.
There's a question here whether or not the chairman has authority.
No, he controls the meetings. If someone comes to him and volunteers, then I think he has the responsibility to come to the group and say, I have a volunteer. Is anybody else interested? Fine, if nobody else is interested, it's by acclamation. If there is another person who really wants it and doesn't want to withdraw, then you have to vote.
That's
the way we do it, and that's democratic principle as far as I'm concerned.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's 7:15.
I know it. We've got to get on.
And
here.
I think we have already agreed to.
All right, we're going to put it on the agenda.
Okay. But let me just say, as a follow-up with Dick's comment, I agree with what Dick is saying, but it is the timing of this discussion with this appointee that has a concern with me. And that's it.
Okay. We are adjourned from our work session, and we'll go into our regular scheduled city council meeting now. We want to welcome everyone here. We thank you for being here and being a part of our discussions this evening. And if you would, please, this is February 27, 2006. And if you would, please stand with us if you desire a prayer and a pledge. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into these chambers again and talk about the city business. We thank you for those who are here as citizens. We thank you for our volunteer commissions that help us so much. We thank you for our staff. And we thank you for our council. And Lord, as we've been talking here, it's easy to see that from time to time we have things that we don't agree on necessarily, but we work them out. And we ask for your wisdom as we go through all the agenda items, each and every meeting. Help us, Lord, to know, guide us, help us to know what the right thing to do is for our community and for all of our citizens. And we appreciate that, and we hope that we would be open to that, Lord, and do the things that please you in each and every instance. And we give you the glory for all things. In your name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that the agenda be adopted.
My second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Next item is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the Horizons work session of February 3rd and 4th, 2006, and the work session and regular meeting of February 13th, 2006. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passage unanimously.
That includes the regular minutes from last time as well.
In work session, regular meeting, February 13, 2006. This next item is a presentation, and we're very pleased to be able to make this presentation tonight. I'm sure that some of you saw the article in the paper couple weeks ago now, I guess, that a good deed is its own reward. We have a young man that we're going to get up to the podium there in a minute, named Taylor McManus, that's with us, and his family members. And there was an article in the paper about another young fellow, Bailey Barnes, who lost, or actually his scooter, his electric scooter, was stolen. And when Taylor and his mom were reading this article, as they often do, read letters to the editor, Taylor apparently told his mom, and maybe Taylor will tell us a little bit about this also when he comes up, but he wanted to do something to help. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll leave it at that right this minute, and I'll ask Taylor if he would to meet me over there, and I'll meet him over there, and we'll have a presentation. We have something we want to present to him tonight. Okay, Taylor?
Thank you.
you. Can you come in here with me? I won't hurt you.
Okay. Many of you know that we are a city of character. That's what we strive to be in the city of Aiken, and we have for a number of years. And from time to time, council has agreed that we would, when we see things that are extraordinary, that people, both young people and elderly people, maybe, have done something that's worthwhile and shows their good character, then we want to acknowledge that. Because people like Taylor are our future. You know that, don't you, Taylor?
Yes, sir.
And so we want to thank you for your good character and what you did in this particular case with Bailey. Mm-hmm. And I want to read this and present this to you. In the spirit of true character, Taylor McManus, whereas Taylor McManus is 11 years old and attends Lavelle McCampbell Middle School, and whereas Bailey Barnes, a 15-year-old South Aiken High School student, had his electric scooter stolen, and whereas Taylor, reading about the incident, decided to give Bailey his electric scooter, which he no longer rode, and whereas in doing so, he has shown his kindness, his compassion, and his generosity toward others. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the city of Aiken, South Carolina, recognizes Taylor McManus as a citizen of character, and we thank him for being a very giving person and a role model for others. Thank you, Taylor, very much.
Mr. Mayor, are his parents here? Is his family here with him?
Yes. Would his family please stand up and give you a clap, too, because you're...
Keep up the good work, Taylor. Thank you. Thank you all for being here, family members. You really don't have to stay for the rest of it unless you want to. Okay, moving on to old business, appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have 10 pending appointments, and we have one before tonight. That appointment is from Councilmember Smith, who would like to recommend the reappointment of John Hulper to the Environmental Committee, term to expire in December of 2007.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move that we reappoint John Hulper.
Second, sir.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Are there any nominations to be made for the next agenda?
I'd like to, next time around, reappoint Keisha Lloyd Kennedy to the Education, as the Education Representative to the Aiken Arts Commission.
Be on the next meeting agenda.
Okay.
Under new business, the first item is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance concerning tree preservation in commercial and multifamily residential zones. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending section 4.6.4 of the City of Aiken zoning ordinance regarding tree preservation for detached single-family residential projects in commercial and multifamily zones. Council had asked us to go ahead and include some language that during those situations where a commercially zoned property or multifamily zoned property, that a person could come in, file for a single-family home, and for single-family homes, we do not require any tree plans or surveys to be done, and therefore that individual could remove the trees that are on that lot, then decide they don't want to do this, resell the property, and the next person come by and they go ahead and put in a commercial development. It's a rare situation, but could happen and has happened. The Planning Commission has stated they would like to change this to the following. Issuance of a building permit for a detached single-family dwelling in a commercial or multifamily zone shall be conditioned on a stipulation that if significant or grand trees are removed, no building permit for a permitted use other than detached single-family residential shall be issued for 3 years from the date of issuance of the permit. Therefore, if they went in there, again, that single-family home was going to be built and they decide not to do it, then nothing could be developed on that property for a minimum of 3 years. They approved this unanimously, and this is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance concerning tree preservation for detached single-family projects in commercial and multifamily residential zones.
Excuse me. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? Second on this?
So the only penalty is that you just can't build for 3 years?
That is correct.
I don't think that's long enough. I mean, I'm just thinking of that lot in our neighborhood with those monster trees on it, you know, that took 70 years to grow. And if somebody says, well, I'm going to plan on being able to put offices on the entire, you know, on the entire lot, so I'll just take these down and 3 years later I can do it. If you're really going to build a single family house, making it 10 years wouldn't be a problem because you're going to build a house and it's going to be single family and it's going to be there, you know. It's only if you're not really going to do it that it would be any kind of a hardship. And if you're not really going to do it, then I don't see why we don't, you know, then why should we allow it?
Which lot were you referring to?
There's a lot at the corner of Fallburg and Richland right now that's zoned LP and has enormous trees on it. And they're all over town like that, especially in a lot of these north side neighborhoods we're working in. I know when I drove through them with the state people, they said, good grief, look at these giant trees in these neighborhoods. You know, it's what makes these neighborhoods so special. So if someone's truly going to build a single-family home, then even a longer time wouldn't be a hardship.
Let me ask a question just. All right, I take this property and I say I'm going to put single family homes. And then I cut down the trees and I don't put the single family homes. But I sell the property to somebody else. Will it be marked in such a way that there's this 3-year moratorium on it such that the person who's selling it will have to let the person buying it know that they can't build anything other than single-family homes for 3 years? Or
I believe the Planning Commission or the Planning Department has a plan to put the building permit of record at the RMC office so that it would be detected when a title search was done.
Could I ask, Ed, are you representing planning here? I just wondered if there's any discussion about a longer period of time, or
and to answer your question, we can go ahead and put something in the computer overlay that would allow us to be able to notice if somebody was coming in for a building permit that they couldn't build on that for a specified period of time. So that would come up and we would have ways of doing it.
I'm sorry, your question was, did we discuss a longer length of time? We discussed originally how many situations this was going to affect, and were we trying to fix something that really wasn't a problem, then we decided that council felt this was something we should do, so we went ahead with it. And we discussed the problem of being able to tag it, just as Councilperson Clyburn mentioned. How will we be able to, in case this piece of property is sold, how do you prevent this from someone else coming in and doing it? And I think you've answered that question. But in discussion, 3 years was the number that we came up with and agreed on.
So,
okay, excuse me. Yes, ma'am.
Your earlier statement
you were saying you didn't think it was a problem.
Well, we just were wondering how, if this was a real problem. We discussed that. But we said we, you know, if council felt this was a problem, then we would certainly address it and take care of it.
So the question was whether it was a problem just to let people follow the regular zoning rules for whatever that zone was.
Well, we just addressed it because City Council had asked us to address it, and we thought this was the number. We discussed other numbers. Mr. Giobbe, you can... But we felt 3 years is an appropriate number. Of course, if you feel that it needs to be more, it can be addressed and changed to be more than that.
I just don't think 3 years is enough to grow a tree. Not even comparable to what you're cutting down when you're talking about grand trees.
But yeah, and I guess we had not even looked at it from growing a tree.
No.
I don't think that was even in our thoughts at the time. It was just as a punitive action for someone that would do this and then do it in order to get around the ordinance. In 3 years, if you're taking out a commercial loan to start building, 3 years is a lot of time to carry that paper and start having to make payments on it. So we were looking at it strictly from a punitive, not from how long it takes to grow a tree. No, you know, there's no way. There's no way.
Is it that big a hardship for people that wish to build single-family homes on limited professional, as an example, or commercial lots, to comply with the tree ordinance? I mean, I don't see why we just couldn't let them comply with the ordinance for the zone that the property's in.
I think when you're building detached single-family residential units, you know, a tree might prohibit you. I don't know.
I was trying to think what we did on Park. You know what I mean when he...
Let me see if I could answer that for you. The entire north side, when we did the Old Aiken Master Plan, is almost all zoned multifamily, limited professional, or general business. There is little, if any, just single-family residential lots on the north side. So that means that any properties, in other words, if you restricted and said that, let's treat those, whether they put a single-family home on it or limited professional, or what are they going to do to the same ordinance that you have for commercial and limited professionals. It means that anybody that wanted to put a home on there and actually legitimately put a home, they'd have to do a tree survey and determine where the trees are and do certain things, just like commercial would be, to take down a grand tree or a specimen tree. When we try to look and determine how many instances this has actually happened at, I'm not too sure if there was any that we could find that it's happened at so far. But what we heard from council was there's the concern that in the future this could happen, and therefore to try to find something to prevent it from happening, especially right now. Where in the past, again, on the north side, very little development was taking place for years, in fact, decades. Now the property on the north side has become very valuable, and every small little lot is being coveted for some type of construction. And most of that is not commercial and limited professional, but it is residential. And so I understood that the concern was somebody is going to take it, plan to put residential, then decide through the process after the trees are cut for that residential lot not to put residential in, and then come back and want to put something differently. And I believe that's what the Planning Commission was looking at.
That was the charge that we were given.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is somewhat of a side, but we've talked about it before, but to me, this is a case where we have different abilities within one zoning. Mm-hmm. I mean, different specs within one zoning. Mm-hmm. As far as breaking them out into commercial, limited professional, blah, 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 with the tree ordinance in this case, whatever it is in that particular one. Here you've got several things it can be. In one case, it's they could take the trees down. In another case, they can't.
That's correct.
And this is what we get into when we have these mixed zonings, too.
If I understand correctly, didn't we charge the Planning Commission also with redoing the tree ordinance so that it would apply to residential property? Haven't we talked about that? Then it would all be consistent. And there is, I think, a move really in many areas.
Well, we certainly should, and I can't answer your specific question. Have we asked them to do that yet?
Well, again, that gets into a real difficult situation that there are some cities in the country, not a lot, but there's more and more going towards that. On any tree that's removed, on any single-family lot, you have to get permission. You know, so that's the one extreme. Mm-hmm. That I own property, I want to take down that pine tree in my front yard, I would have to call the city, get permission to cut it down, and there'd have to be good reason, or else a certain number of trees would have to be planted back in that yard. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is right now, and I shouldn't use the word extreme, but the other end of this spectrum is, if you currently have a lot and you want to cut down a tree in your own property, you could do that. And there's no permission, no penalties, no nothing. So what we have is, if it's going to be a single-family home, you don't need permission to cut down any trees for those single-family homes. And the whole idea is, the vast majority of individuals that are going to build a single-family home on a single lot are going to try to keep as many trees as possible because it enhances their lots. Now we got into the other extreme where some developers have just totally stripped away all the trees on those residential lots. So we're trying to find what is that happy medium that allows the flexibility for the single family owner to do things on their property versus on new development that they won't take away all the trees. And the best example for that is the one on Pine Log Road where they cut all those trees down to build that new subdivision.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have asked the Planning Commission to take a look at that, have we not?
We have, and that's, again, that's the whole, the wrestling with that issue as to how do you do that on property that is already zoned single family.
I think our Planning Commission has given a good thing here.
That's good.
I can certainly go along with the 3 years.
I'm going to move for adoption, Mr. Mayor, on this.
Okay, we've got a
first
motion.
My second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I just don't understand. If it's not adopted, then there's no 3-year moratorium. Is that it?
That's correct.
Them all down?
And then they'll commercial the next day.
Right. This is really protecting. Not as much as one would like.
I'm just so confused because I thought that when the tree ordinance was written, that a zone had it, like the mayor said, a zone had a certain set of requirements, and that those set of requirements applied to everyone in the zone. But that's not true then.
No, not when you got this
not
mixed
really.
Zone here like this. Yeah. And we've run up against it several times over the years.
But it's not a mixed zone. It's still the same zone. If someone decides they want to put residential in a commercial zone, limited professional, or multifamily, they could do so.
But then we're arbitrarily, to a certain extent, saying that the residential regulation or non-regulation implies instead of what it's actually zoned at. It's still, if we're not rezoning the lot, we're actually just making not an exception, it's a use. It's an approved use. But why don't we still just continue to apply the LP tree preservation ordinance? That gets it around it even better.
If it hasn't been a problem yet, let's see if it becomes one and then do something.
In other words,
for anything that goes in LP, you're saying?
Yeah, whoever decided that we're going to, is that in the ordinance that the residential would apply?
I'll let Ed correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there's a blanket exception in the tree preservation ordinance that talks about residential, single-family residential structures. The tree protection ordinance does not apply to residential. Is that correct,
that's
Ed?
Correct. Oh, I think that's right. That's correct.
Regardless of the zone, and you can build single-family residential structures in zones other than then RSTN, RSVP.
That's the catch 22.
Right. Yeah, and that's why we're here tonight talking about that.
And the one way of getting through this, you could require that before a residential structure could be built in an LP zone or multifamily, that new owner rezones it to residential.
That's what I was getting to.
You know, RS6, RS8, 10, 12, 15, whatever that amount.
And then he can't go back.
And then they can only go back, it gets rezoned back to whatever they would want it to.
That to me sounds more fair than,
yes,
than and more workable than giving them just 3 years, because quite frankly you can go ahead and cut down the trees knowing you got 3 years and not file your paperwork for your loan until
some people
2 years are up and then go get your loan. And
you'll have a lot more rezonings come before City Council, because again there's a lot of single family homes now being built in multifamily areas and commercial areas and LP. But I mean, that's certainly a way the council could go ahead and structure it, that they cannot build a single family residential home in one of those other zones without getting it rezoned.
But when we did the Old Aiken Master Plan, remember how many of those neighborhoods wanted
single family
zoning? And we said, well, we would look at it. You know, we didn't promise anything definitely one way or the other, but we most of those neighborhoods wanted it very much, and maybe we need to help implement that rather than make it their burden.
Well, perhaps this is before us now. Maybe we ought to go ahead and do something.
Yeah, this is something
get it
now
into law as soon as possible, and then we can take up any other changes we want to.
Call for a question for me.
We had a motion and second, did we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that. Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Okay. All for and opposed?
I just think it should be longer.
Passes 6-1.
To answer that other question, we have started with a neighborhood along Carlton Avenue going towards Park Avenue. And we have asked them to rezone their neighborhood. And if I'm correct, Eddie, around 70% of them have signed the petition for rezoning, maybe a little less than that. Not everybody wants to rezone their property, even though it's almost all single family in there. Some want to keep it multifamily. But we are starting the process, and we figured this was the best neighborhood of any that are going to want to rezone it. I don't think we're going to get support, but not near unanimous support for the rezonings.
Is that 70%?
We've been working on this for about 6 months now, and so we're asking people to go back and go back and go back and try to convince their neighbors to sign it.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Item 2 under new business is the first reading of an ordinance to annex Fox Run subdivision. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'm going to read this by title only. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken, certain property located in Fox Run subdivision, and zone the same single-family residential RS6. This is the first time that something like this has come before you, where we had a developer sign an annexation petition in exchange for receiving utilities in an area outside the city. If you recall, every time there's a utility request, one of the stipulations is that the developer signs an agreement that when that property becomes contiguous, they would go ahead and sign the petition. So that became that was done in year 2000 on this 23.1 acre tract of land, which is a part of a larger 57 acre tract of land that backs up to Deodoro Plantation. The area became contiguous. There's about 25 homes that are currently out there. And again, we went to the individual owners, spoke to them that this was the requirement that City Council had with the developer, and about half the people signed it. We then sent around the petition again, one or two more signed it. Then Mr. Smith wrote a letter telling them that Council, when we talked to you about this back in, I think it was November, December, said that if we had the right to do it, then if people are going to sign the petition, or we would have the right to cut off the water. So that's the letter that Mr. Smith wrote to them. With that, we have approximately 93% of the homeowners did sign the petition. Three of them did not. The developer signed it for all the vacant land, as he was required to do so. The three that did not, two of them were for sale. The individuals, my understanding is they were not in town. The third one just did not sign it. So you have before you tonight 93% of the signatures representing 86% of the assessed value. The Planning Commission recommended that all the properties should be annexed, not just the ones that signed it, based on the fact that in the year 2000, Council agreed to the fact that in exchange for water, the area should be annexed. And so that's how it is in your package tonight, that it's not by the petition method, but by the everything would be annexed if you approve it on first and second reading. So for City Council consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex the entire 23.1-acre Fox Run subdivision under the RS6 zoning.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Let me ask, before we go any further, is anyone in the audience who wants to speak on this issue? Normally we don't allow speaking on first reading, but if there's somebody here, we could allow it. Okay. Very good. Okay, do we have a motion and a second so we can get into the discussion phase if necessary? Anybody? Motion?
I'll
second?
Okay. Second, sir.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay.
I only see three that didn't sign. Am I correct on that?
That is correct.
That's what, yeah.
Two of the houses were for sale, and the third one did not sign.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, I certainly support this. Okay. Okay, if there's no discussion, all in favor? Show of hands. Okay. Passes unanimously. Very good. Item 3 is the first reading of an ordinance to approve the sale of 15.11 acres to Shiloh Baptist Church. Mr. Leduc.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance approving the sale and conveyance of approximately 15.11 acres of property owned by the City of Aiken, located in the Shiloh section of Aiken County, South Carolina, portion of tax parcel 001501-005. The City of Aiken owns approximately 45 acres between Shiloh Church Road and I-20. This is just to the east of our spring that we have out there. The church was in existence even before we had the spring. In fact, there's a wall that's buried in the ground that diverts the water around this wall so that it does not go through the cemetery that is out there. Somewhere along the line, they built some playing fields out there. They have been on our property. We've known about it. That's not really been a problem. But they would like to do some expansion on the church and on their property. And they originally had asked us, the city, to sell them the entire acreage, and they were willing to buy it. We then went back and looked at it after further discussion as the city started looking at open space and green space. And we said, you know, we really want to acquire open space and green space. Is this something we really want to sell all the property that's there, even though we certainly don't have any need for it? So we went back to the church and asked if they would be willing to purchase the property that's, if you look at the map, it would be just west or to the right on the plat that's there of the power line easement. The area that's kind of squared off is what they own now. You can see the ball field is outside of the area. There's a little triangle right along the road that certainly has little or no use and to the city anyways, and then the back portion. So when we added it all up, it added up to about 15.11 acres. We had it appraised. We did put it up for sale to see if anybody else was interested. When they found out what the appraised value was and where the land was situated in relationship to church, we got no one that wanted to make any other offers. So they're the only ones that are asking permission to buy this. We did put some restrictions on it about mobile homes and multifamily and certain agricultural developments on it to restrict how and what they could use it for. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to sell 15.11 acres to Shiloh Baptist Church for $49,863. And the money would be used for utility improvements and go into our utility fund.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? Second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Excuse me. All right. I think that's three, isn't it? Three. Okay. Any discussion?
Can anybody define what a large-scale trailer project is?
Well, they couldn't put any mobile homes or trailers out there at all.
At all?
No. They're looking right now to use it for church property. You know, they want to have the ability to have a parsonage home out there sometime if necessary. So we didn't want to restrict total residential.
Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimous. Item 3 is a... I beg your pardon. Item 4 is first reading of an ordinance to sell property on Douglas Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance approving the sale and conveyance of a portion of property owned by the City of Aiken, located on Douglas Drive in Aiken, South Carolina. This one was brought to the city, again, I believe it was back in November. And Bill Gingrey, who had done most of the development along Douglas Drive, wanted to know if the city would be willing to sell part of the property that already had street frontage on it, already had the water, already had the sewer for residential development. We told him that we would look into it, we would have it appraised, and then we posted the property as we've discussed in the past. The appraisal stated that the property should have a value of approximately $130,000 for that track, and that's 11.5 acres. I'm sorry, it was $117,000. And then he looked at it, and we looked at it, and felt that with the back portion of that property, and Larry, do you have a overhead for this? We thought that would be the best way, because we were uncertain as to how much council would want to sell, if any, of the property. The back portion where our water and, I mean, our sewer line, storm drainage line is at, is not the best property. It's also a very nice green area. Can anybody see that? Larry, if you could point out the water treatment facility and then Douglas Drive on this. And we turn off the lights, but it takes about 15 minutes for lights to come back on. So, there we go.
The way to do it would be this. This is your water treatment facility here.
Point out Pine Log Road.
Pine Log Road is in front of it here. And Douglas Drive comes here after turning off Kinder Street here. The acres in question have a well, a deep well here, that by DHEC requirements, we do have to keep this area free under wellhead protection. So it would be a 200 foot square that we reserve. Right here, there is a sewer running down through the area. There's a raw water line through here, and there are storm drain easements here. And here that we need, that would have to be whole area looks like this.
That's the full 11.5 acres.
Correct. With the treatment plant. With the treatment plant being down to this area here, with the well being this area right here.
And we're proposing not to sell the very back portion of the property.
The portion that we would not sell is 200 feet square right here. We would have no need of this portion here except for the easements that we do need. The front portion here, which is adjacent to the water plant site, would not be sold. That area does flood, and if we fill it in, that would very possibly give us some problems on that side of the road. So roughly the 9 acres or so roughly would extend approximately here back with the preservation of the well at that point. We do not have a survey depending on what council's wishes are. Depending on what council wants to do, we would go ahead with a survey and actually have deeds prepared for that.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Larry, before you sit down, you're saying we don't need it?
This property is not needed
okay.
for the water plant. We do have plans to add one more well in the area. However, due to the geology of the area, we cannot get another well in here. We currently have a well here on site at the treatment facility. And again, we have a well on Douglas Drive. I've got to put it back for a moment. Sorry about that. We have a well here on the treatment facility. We have a well on Douglas Drive. Because of their proximity, none of this area is usable for an additional well. So as we look for another well for the Pine Log site, we're actually going to have to go across Pine Log Road again. We went across Pine Log Road onto Robin Road a few years back and located one well. We're going to have to go in that area again. So this is not required for expansion.
So we need another well in any case.
Correct.
We're programming another well just due to the tremendous growth of the city. Of course, that's why the water impact fee was placed on water meters by council. And that will then give us about another million gallon capacity.
And we hope to build it later this year. If you look at it, think of a clock, and the very center of the clock is where the treatment facility is now. The going up Douglas Drive to the very top would be 12 o'clock. We have another well that's at 8 o'clock, and we want to build another well at around 4 o'clock. So in other words, the cone of influence would then not affect the other wells that are in that area.
And that's Powder House? That...
This is Douglas Drive. Mm-hmm.
And Pine Log.
Road. And this is the Durbin Robin Road right here. That goes into Mallard Lake. The Mallard Road is way over on this area right here. This is the Mallard Lake entrance drive.
So is that, what is that line to the right? Is that a...
This line here? Mm-hmm. This line is actually the easement that we would have to keep, which has a raw water line from the well in it. Comes right down through that area. And then again, there is a sewer that comes through the area and ends up crossing the roadway approximately here. And that sewer carries sewage from the portion of the city roughly running up to south boundary between Whiskey Road and Banks Mill.
What's this zoned?
I'm at a loss, Mr. Father. I'm sorry.
What?
Maybe.
Whatever. Ed, do you know what it's zoned?
RS-15, but I'm not sure.
We would want to go, you know, when we sell it, it would be sold for residential.
Is that the zone that surrounds it, RS-15? Mm-hmm.
The lots are all in the county that surrounds it to the west of that property, and those are probably about an RS, you know, they're not zoned that way, but they're probably about an 8,000 to 10,000 square foot lot.
That's what's being planned then, pretty much.
And, Ms. Fodders, if I may, this property here is owned by a Reeder company.
Okay.
So that is industrial.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Are we going to have to acquire land from them for this other well?
No, sir.
The one at 4 o'clock is...
It's going across the street.
The land that we would have to obtain, there is a further... east of here down Pine Log Road, it'll be on the opposite side of Pine Log Road. There's a wooded area.
We would actually have to go across Pine Log Road.
Raise it up higher, Larry. There you go.
With the treatment plant being here, we're actually going to have to cross Pine Log Road and either go this direction somewhat, down toward like the Powder House Kennels area, somewhere in there. We have our consultants working on that. We're not ready to come to council yet with a recommendation on the property, and that's going to have to be based again on the geology of the area.
We have to, the further we get off of Pine Log Road, the cheaper the land will be.
Correct.
And so, in other words, we don't need to front on Pine Log Road.
This land's currently in the city that we're selling.
I assume it is.
Our property should all be in the city.
Yes.
If not, we wouldn't be that poor.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. Any other questions?
And the new well site that we're talking about will be in this next year's budget.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to move for approval of the ordinance to sell the property on Douglas Drive.
My second.
Okay.
And that would be for approximately 9 acres, more or less.
Right.
The reason it's a little vague here, until we survey it and we know exactly what Mr. Gingrey wants and where it's going to be at, I couldn't tell you right now if it's 8.4 acres or 9.5 acres. And that'll just have to be worked out at the time of the actual survey. But what we're asking for permission is 9 acres, more or less, based on the prices that he has offered us.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Very good.
And this would be good for the city because that money then could be used to help with the cost of the new well that we'll be having, which is going to be over $500,000 in cost.
And of course, it's all of our first readings. It'll be second reading at the next on the next agenda, next meeting. Item 5 is first reading of an ordinance to close the right-of-way of Mabry Street in Edgewood Subdivision. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to authorize the City of Aiken to close the right-of-way of Mabry Street, an unopened lane between Bamberg, Saluda, and Kershaw Street in the city limits of Aiken. In order for us to go ahead and build the houses we want to in Edgewood, as you can see from the map, this street cuts right through the very middle of the property. Once we go ahead and take this, and all this is a paper street. There's no street out there whatsoever. It just looks like a green wooded area. We remove that from our plats. We could get at least 3 lots in there. So once council has approved this on second reading at the next meeting, we'd go along and replat it so that we could start building some houses in that area. And for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to close Mabry Street between Saluda and Kershaw Street in Edgewood Subdivision.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passage unanimously. Item 6 is the first reading of an ordinance amending Chapter 36 of the City Code regarding sidewalk sales in downtown area.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending Chapter 36 of the City Code of Aiken, South Carolina, regarding right-of-way and merchandise displays. Council has talked about this for quite some time, about this and the newspaper. We'll be discussing the newspaper racks at our next meeting. That'll be in a work session. Wendell Hall, who was here earlier, I think is gone now. Yeah, if we get Wendell back in, he may have to answer some questions on this. We'll talk about the newspaper racks at the next meeting. So this is regarding all other for sale merchandise on the sidewalk areas. We believe this is what council has asked us to do. We talked to ADDA. Currently, they work with the Public Safety Department on the scheduling of all sidewalk sales. They have permission right now to ask for 3 of those a year. When they looked at the current ordinance we had and what's going on, they said, could we change that to 6? Not that they're expecting to use 6, but that it gives them a little bit more flexibility. When I looked at the ordinance and I looked at some of the areas in it, the one area that struck me that council may want to discuss in a little bit further detail is item number 5. If you turn to the third page, look at item number 5, it says that temporary directional commercial signboards, sandwich boards, or other temporary business directional signs as approved by the planning director in consultation with the public safety director. In other words, they would have the ability to be out there. Council may want that, and you may not want it. You may want to change some of the language in there that discusses it. For instance, what does temporary mean? Can I go out there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, put my sandwich board out there advertising the dinner that's there, or that a certain bar is going to be opened up with a certain act, and then remove it at midnight? And I could do that every day, 7 days a week. So that's, again, an area you may want to discuss. I think the other areas are pretty self-explanatory. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of ordinance amendment, Chapter 36 of the City Code concerning sidewalk sales.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I can certainly see a need, and it's a good thing to let our merchants do this, you know, occasionally. But I tell you what, the sidewalk, the signs out there, I try to vision a number of signs. Now, this would be any time during the year, right? So it would not be all at the same time necessarily. Different merchants would have theirs out there, and so conceivably you could have a sidewalk sale somewhere every week during the year.
No, there would only be allowed six a year. ADDA would go ahead and talk to public safety, to Pete Frommer, get permission to have those sidewalk sales, and it'd be for whatever specified time that public safety would allow those to be, similar to what they have currently.
Okay, same time during the year then, for six.
Not the
all
same
the merchants
time.
Would have their things out there at the same time, six times a year.
Up to six times a year.
Right, okay.
Individuals would not go to public safety saying that they would like to have a sidewalk sale.
Just tell me about the lady on the sidewalk that scares me all the time.
I'm not too sure which lady you're talking about.
Somebody knows
about
what I'm talking about.
The old lady dummy in front of Tea Garden Gifts.
I look around and I want to say something, but she's not real. So I, but then, is that?
Those are Kathy puts those out.
Yes,
when the weather is nice.
Yeah,
they're never there at night. They're only there when the storm.
Right, but that's something that would still be able to be.
That's
managed.
It's not really addressed in this ordinance.
Okay.
You know, you could have park benches out there. It doesn't say that fake scary ladies can't sit on the park bench.
She's not scary. It's just that you're not expecting it, and then you turn around and she's there.
She doesn't talk a lot.
She doesn't talk a lot.
They're the most popular ladies in this city.
I know.
They are.
You're absolutely right. That's an attraction for folks to come downtown to.
She's sitting on a bench, and that's going to be okay, right?
Well, she's not holding a sign.
As long as they're not for sale. You couldn't put merchandise on that bench that would be for sale.
Okay.
Mayor, the ADDA, I think, has two sidewalk sales scheduled each year. And I think what they were hoping to do is to go ahead and petition council for up to six, not saying that they were going to have six.
That's correct.
But that they would have the opportunity, rather than having to come back to council at a later time and say, we got an opportunity to add another one, may we add another one. So,
yeah, I see no problem with that. I was wondering about this thing about timing.
Yes.
Whether or not it was all at the same time, you know, for everybody, or if it would be intermixed, you know.
I think it's all at the same time.
Yeah, that's what Roger just explained, and that makes a big difference, I think.
Now, one thing that concerns me is just with the temporary signs and directional signs and things along that line, and I know I've expressed my concern before as far as the trees downtown, and I love trees, and I'm not wanting to cut trees, but, you know, during certain times of year, you cannot read the signs on the front of the businesses. And if we now tell these same merchants that they can't display a small sign outside on the sidewalk or up next to their building, then how are they going to identify themselves? So we've got a problem with blocking their signs on the front of the building. And now we're going to say you're going to have to take out the little small sign that you have. And I, you know, it just concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
Even you know, coming down Park Avenue with my business here on the corner of Park Avenue and Newberry, with all the foliage off the trees, it's very difficult to see my sign because of the number of trees that are there. If you're sitting at the red light, mm-hmm. it's very difficult to see
right.
the sign. So, And it's not only my business, but Southers downtown as well. And that concerns me.
Right, right. I wonder if we could possibly have the same type of sign so that you don't have all kinds of different kinds of signs. Maybe come up with one sign that fits all, so to speak, with of course with their own names on them.
We talked about the signs on the corner, and that was during the Christmas holidays that we did.
Yeah. Bill did those. Yeah. Wasn't it last spring, Bill?
It was during Christmas.
We did it in Christmas of 2004.
And we received glowing feedback with people knowing what was within that block.
That is correct.
So
that's the directional signs. That's still in the works with ADDA for the wayfinding signs. That's Don's referring to the little triangle signs like you put out in front of your store.
They are pursuing that? Yeah. Oh, they're
what,
definitely
what
doing something?
What happened is they wanted to carry it a little bit further, and there was a vote not to go ahead and do it at that particular time, and they hired a person from USC Aiken who had done some of this work in the past, last spring, to do it. I talked to Janet Morris, I want to say just a few weeks ago, and she feels like they'll be coming back with some recommendation real soon on it. So that's still in the works. Those are going to be more signs that will be put at the corners indicating shops that you would see down the next block, and you know, with a pointing direction. So if you were at the corner of Lawrence and Park, there might be a sign at that corner pointing towards the municipal center saying the Bowery with an arrow, so that people could find that and see that. But again, we're talking about small signs, not bigger ones.
But we've been talking about this for four and a half years since I've been on council, and they still don't have anything that they've got finally to propose. I just want to thank Don for his comments, because I think we've got, to me, people talk about how special downtown Aiken is, but downtown Aiken is not special without businesses in the business district. I don't want them all over the place. I want them where they should be, but I think everybody here does. But if we don't have businesses in these shops, it isn't going to be special at all. It's going to be like downtown Walterboro, which has lovely landscaping and no stores. And, I doubt that. But, I mean, I just think we need to watch out for them. I think there's some merchants here. And, you know, before we make decisions, I'd like to hear some of their, if you want to comment, or about, you know, why some of these signs are necessary. And we also had an issue with the kiosks. Remember that? And that hadn't happened either. And, I mean, I think 4.5 years is plenty of time for something to get going, frankly. And
I think those that are working on this with ADDA can speak to this better than any of us. But I know for a fact that they've talked about the signs plus the kiosks, or just the kiosks, and where do you put them? And it's one of those kind of sensitive issues too. And some people want it here, some people want it there. Some people want these directional signs on all corners. In other words, if you've got one, here's a block, and you've got one on this corner pointing this direction, saying what's down there. They want one here also pointing this direction, saying what's down there, because people could be walking down the street this way. It's not a simple issue by any means.
No, I know it's not simple.
And I know it's been a while, but it's not a simple issue. But I'm glad to hear that somebody's working on it now from the university. So that's good. I mean, we'll get it eventually. If there's someone here that would like to speak, certainly, just please come up and tell us your name and your address, if you would.
Council members, my name is Elaine Yarosh. I have the Swan Antique Mall at the corner of 321 Richland Avenue. I'm behind the Aiken Drugstore. Some of the things that I've learned tonight, I'm going to read my song as it goes, but I might feel a little better about some of the things I've heard tonight. I've lived in Aiken since 1978, and all the time that I've been here, the vitalization of downtown has been paramount to all of us. The character of downtown is not only the development of all downtown areas, such as a cultural center and a million-dollar playhouse. Downtown is popular because of retail stores and restaurants. New visitors that come into my store all the time, but they don't even know that we have a playhouse, half of them. They come from here and there. They don't know that we're putting in a nice cultural center or whatever. You know, they think we're wonderful because we have the little old lady sitting on the sidewalk, and we have plants in front of our stores, and we have flags in front of our stores, and we have some of our merchandise in front of our stores. The six blocks or eight or whatever it is of downtown Aiken should be walking friendly. That's why they come to downtown. I go to Madison, Georgia. Love to go to that town. I think it's a wonderful town, and anybody who hasn't been there needs to go and see that on every street corner they have the directories. And it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And they also make all storefronts be brick. And they, you know, as they develop, they increase the visibility of all this. In Madison, they have retail items out front of their stores. They have ironworks. They have flowers. They have things that make people and draw you in and make you feel wonderful about this town. It's vibrant. It's, you know, it's not just streets with signs on it. And that's important to downtown Aiken. We're going to be a cookie cutter city that everybody's going to, it's going to be the same as going to Memphis, Tennessee. We're going to have a big shopping center. We're going to have the same stores. We're going to have, the only thing that's different is our downtown. And now it seems to me that everybody doesn't want us to have a sign. They don't want us to have our flowers out front. They don't want us to stick a go-kart out front or whatever that attracts somebody to their business. Well, I know for a fact that Arnold Gallery, when I moved into that location, they told me that they actually had no walk-in traffic there, except if somebody stopped to ask directions. Part of that can be from the type of business it was, but you know, they didn't have any visible signs outside other than your signs, the regular signs on the building. And as I understand it, the city or Aiken Corp is opposed to directories, which I'm finding now is being worked on again. And I was just going to say that I've been to New Canaan, Connecticut a lot. I've been to Nantucket. What makes those cities? Those are more upscale cities than Aiken is. And what makes those towns unique and wonderful to visit is the fact that they have flower vendors out front. They have merchandise out front. That's what makes downtown downtown. And I don't think that what a few people do, having tables out front in the middle of the sidewalk, should penalize everybody that does it discreetly and does it with taste. Let me see. I know without my planners and my directories and my little lean-to, whatever you call those things, nobody would know that I was even there. I have people coming in. I have a red sign that I'm sure is not approving to you, but it says antiques with an arrow stuck in my planner. People come down Richland Avenue. They can't see my signs because of the trees. They say, you know, that little sign, that's how I knew you were here, and I've been downtown for a year and a half. So, you know, you take away these things, you know, we pay our taxes, we do our advertising. You know, I've heard the comment that people say, well, if you can't afford to be on Lawrence Street, don't cry. Well, that's a pretty bad thing to say. All of us can't be on Lawrence Street. And the ones that are on the side streets need to be recognized. And I love trees, but I hate the trees we have. In the spring, the buds fall all over and scrunch all over the sidewalks, and in the fall, it's such a mess every time it rains. I have leaves up on top of my furniture and I mean, all over the place. And you have to pay to somebody to blow your sidewalks off or go do it yourself every day. But I just want to say that all the antique people advertise together. We do billboards, we do TV, we do regional antique guides, all of which bring people to downtown Aiken. We pay dearly in our taxes, and we all, like I said, we all can't be on Lawrence Street. And I mentioned the trees. Okay. And I say that the ADDA, or Aiken Corporation, sees their mission as only total downtown development with little regard for the welfare of the retail merchants. They are not commerce-driven in any way. The ADD should promote shopping in downtown with ads in nearby newspapers, bus tours, or do more simple economical brochures such as the Aiken Downtown, or the Aiken After Hours. Doesn't have to be a big, huge directory that costs so much money to print. The one that the After Hours did, one card, a lot more economical, easy to read, easy to find the people. I guess the other thing, the downtown area may just change with growth in all Aiken areas and with rents skyrocketing as leases expire. We need to look ahead and do what is good for these merchants downtown, or they will not be able to compete. We need to keep our shops quaint, visible, and unique, and inviting. And I don't think that sidewalk sales are enough. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned there are no flowers permitted outside of your building.
I had heard from Henry Krippner, came to see me one day and just mentioned that, FYI, we're not going to be able to put, we could put things out, as far as he had heard, that we could put things out on the brick part of the sidewalk, not the sidewalk itself. You know,
That's exactly why we're here talking about the subject.
You know, if you go around and you see the people that really abuse this, and then you see the people that are trying to just attract people to their store, there's a big difference.
Right, right.
And,
right.
You know, there's ways to set some guidelines, but to just say that we're going to do 6 sidewalk sales a year, you might as well forget it as far as my business goes, because I won't have anybody there if it weren't for people referring, you know. And to be there a year and a half, advertise, have beautiful signage, and people come say they don't know where you are. Mm-hmm. And Lynn at Aiken Drug Stores told me he wished somebody'd run over the trees. You know, no. He said he's had people, and I'm not anti-tree. It's a kind of tree.
I understand, and I think we've got to do something about the trees. I think we really have to look at trees and maybe even take those out and put something in that suits at the level. Because we can't let the trees block the signs. I mean, that's silly. And if that's what's happening when they come out, then we need to do something else. We've got to protect our merchants. There's no doubt about it. I moved here in 1953. There was not a whole lot downtown. You know, everybody went to Augusta.
And that's what
we want the downtown to be vibrant. I don't think there's anybody here that says, "Hey, that's why we're considering these things." I mean, I for one, and I think everybody wants to do all we can to make sure that the city is vibrant, because it hadn't always been that way.
No, and with all the growth, it can very easily change.
Yeah. And in '88, there were anywhere from 10 to 15 open storefronts at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, everybody working together, it's not like that now. So I appreciate what you have to say. I really do think we need to do something about the trees.
And I think it can't really, with this, like I said, I think there, a lot of the merchants are really concerned about the leases being up and having downtown merchants be able to compete.
Yeah. Now, these other towns you mentioned, do they allow sidewalk sales all year round?
Madison has stuff out in front all the time. You know, whenever I go there, I've seen that. And Nantucket, you know, definitely. They always have flower vendors and things out in front of their stores, you know, so.
Yeah. I've never heard anybody say we don't want any flowers out. I wish we had a lot more flowers out. There are places with empty boxes out there now.
Right. Well, and I agree with the empty boxes. I think newspapers and...
No, I mean flower boxes.
Okay.
There are a couple of those, too.
But as far as the boxes, too, the newspaper boxes, I think those folks should have to pay for their wherever they are. It's not a freebie for all the free give out, you know, handouts and everything. They don't pay anything. You know, so.
Well, in Charleston as well, there are merchandise on the street. I don't know what the ordinance reads, but really where the market area is, if you walk those corridors, there are merchants selling items on the street. They're not in the walking path, but they're close to the street, they're outside of their business area.
But we do have awfully wide, how wide do you need your sidewalks to be, you know? We have awfully wide sidewalks. I don't think anybody has a hard time going down our sidewalks, except in front of restaurants where they've abused it.
Yeah, as long as it's safe, there's an open path for
right.
a couple people to walk okay. abreast to come in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
You did really good.
Well, counsel? Oh, sure, Wayne. Yeah.
Wade Brody, chairman of the Aiken Corporation, and also a member of the Downtown Development Association. And I want to assure everybody here this evening that we certainly are not anti-sign, and we are not anti-small business. It's frankly because of these two organizations that you got the viable downtown that you have, and people clamoring to come downtown. You're talking about several problems, and I think we're kind of getting off the subject of the ordinance tonight. Don had brought up one that I hear a lot of concern about, and that is the trees and the visibility of signage on buildings. This probably would be addressed through the sign ordinance as opposed to what we're talking about tonight, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is the point that Roger brought up about the sandwich signs. I don't know why. I don't see a lot of them out there, frankly. But I do know that ADDA recognizes new businesses with a similar type sign for some period of time, I think, for
30 days.
For 30 days. And this is a good point. The ADDA is actively working on signage that not only will zero in on the downtown, but going out to the interstate and trying to get more people to come into to the downtown area. Thank you.
We thank you, and thank you for all your organization does. Okay, this is the first reading. Do we have a motion and a second on this?
The six, allowing up to six sidewalk sales, is that enough based on?
Well, you know, it's more than they have now, and based on what Elaine says, it's not enough. It's a start. Unless somebody has some good knowledge here of what else it should be, this is a start at any rate. We could get something more than we have. Yes, sir?
You say now that the individual store, I own a store on Park Avenue. And you're saying that...
Would you mind coming up so that we have a record, we can hear better, and we have a... As you get older, you know, it's a little bit harder for some of us to hear.
Dennis Fitzgerald, I own Aiken Antiques and Auction on Park Avenue, right across from the courthouse. My question is, with this ordinance that we're reading for the first time tonight, an individual shop would not then be able to have its own sidewalk sale on a day other than one of those six designated days?
That's what is being stated.
That's what's being said. And the other clarification, are we allowed to have plants and things out in front of the store? Anything on the store, as long as it's not for sale?
The area of debate that has gone on with ADDA and that has gone on that we've had with Dennis and some other merchants is, do you really have... you know, it's not so much the three sidewalk sales or six sidewalk sales, but are you going to allow merchants to put out things for sale on a regular basis, whether it be a daily basis or several times a week? And if so, what could they put out there? When the ADDA was asked this question, there were some that said, you know, we would like to see merchandise be placed out there all the time on the sidewalk and not have any restrictions. And then there was the group that wanted to have total restrictions where there was nothing ever out there. And what was finally recommended to us from the committee that then went to the board was that there'd be allowed to have up to six a year. What that would mean, if you pass it in the current condition it's in tonight, would be that what Elaine's talking about, what Dennis is talking about, that they would not be allowed to put out merchandise beyond the storefront for sale, except during those sidewalk sale periods. And also what's in here tonight is that the temporary commercial signboards could be out there. Again, the word temporary is fairly broad.
What does that mean?
We may need to define that. A sandwich board is very broad. I mean, you could, right now it doesn't say the sandwich board would be 12 inches by 18 inches. It could be 4 feet by 6 feet. You know, so I think if you want sandwich boards allowed, we probably need to better define temporary. We probably better need to define what the size should be. But again, going back to what Mr. Fitzgerald is talking about, currently, what's being proposed to you tonight, based on what we got from ADDA, is that there would be, you would not be allowing merchants to put out on the sidewalk things for sale other than during those sidewalk sale times.
You have a, in your store, does it, am I wrong? I'm just trying to remember from the other day. Does it go, it goes in?
A little bit.
Before
just
your entrance?
It's actually just, it's a two-door entrance. It's just two doors wide. It's not very long. Just not like a hardware store.
And that's not really where you put things. And you need to put them outside.
Well,
along the edge.
Right. Mm-hmm. And up against the store. I've had it out there before, and I was taking the, we won't go into that. But anyway, pieces of concrete up against the front of the building is what I was having out there. Bird baths, flower pots, things like that, that I was putting out there. They were left out there all night. I didn't haul them back in. They were left there all night. I was fine. Nobody said a word about it till they widened the sidewalk and planted some trees. Then all of a sudden it became an issue, and I wasn't allowed to have anything out there anymore. The only thing I'm asking is, there's been a lot of conversation among the merchants that this is one step into the next step going to be, you're not allowed to put anything out there, period. Now, we do have a hard time with visibility. The trees haven't grown yet in front of my store because they just planted them. But I can visualize that they will block it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a lot of money in that sign that nobody's going to be able to see. You can only put so much on the windows as people are driving by to be able to see in that grip. That sign, I have three chairs sitting out there right now that are not for sale, that are painted a god-awful looking blue. And it's brought more people into my store because of it. It catches that eye as they go by. Now, I'm not proposing that I put a god-awful looking sign or an A-frame out there, but the merchandise out front helps. It helps every merchant. And Aiken Downtown Development can say what they want. This is the first time, when I read Sunday's paper, that I knew this ordinance was even being considered. Nobody from Aiken Downtown Development ever contacted me as a merchant on Park Avenue and said anything to me. And I can bring others up here that aren't here tonight, why I don't know, but that didn't know anything about it till I called them tonight, today, and asked if they were going to come. So it's fine for ADDA to propose the 6 day, six sales. And I'm not against the six sales. I probably wouldn't do all six. But if I've got, like, springs coming up and I sell concrete, I'd like to do a big sidewalk sale on concrete items. Put an ad in the paper and bring it down. And I'd like to be able to put 30, 40 pieces of concrete out there. With this, I've got to go find out when Aiken Downtown Development is going to say it's okay for me to do that. And my question, to go back to that, is am I still going to be able to get a permit to have a sidewalk sale on my own other than one of those six designated signs?
No.
I will not.
Okay. You wouldn't if this is passed like this.
Passed like this.
That brings up a good question.
This ordinance isn't addressing the flower pots and the things that aren't for sale.
That's correct.
Because the rumor is on the street that it is.
Right. Park benches, flowers, those types of things will remain on the sidewalk.
But it is addressing signboards.
Correct. That, you know, the signboards here saying that they would be allowed. Right now they are not allowed.
They're allowed when, though?
Based on...
So that says at least 30 days in advance? Is that
temporary
what that
directional commercial signboards can be approved by the planning department in consultation with the public safety department.
But how about up here, we lead into that. What does that mean, approved by public safety at least 30 days in advance?
On signboards
before
and
you put
things.
It out. That doesn't mean before
the time of the sale, one of those six sale periods, does it?
The way I read it is that if there's going to be a sidewalk sale that ADBA has asked for, they'd be asking for it 30 days in advance.
Okay, well, that's what I thought, too. So that would be 30 days in advance of the designated sale period.
That's correct.
Six of those.
And that way they could determine, is it going to conflict with anything else right. that may be happening during that time?
But that would not be, I think, Jane, that's what you were talking, that would not be then that you could leave it out all year long.
Correct.
It's very important that we all understand what this is saying.
So technically, the bar, since there is no sidewalk sale set up, technically, if this ordinance were in effect the way it's written right now, all the signs that are on Lawrence or anywhere else would have to be taken down.
Yep, unless it's within that 30-day period.
Any other kind of sign you're talking about would have to be taken down.
I think that's true. Is that not true as you read this?
I would defer to Richard drafting the ordinance.
Richard, do you want to?
Yeah, Richard, please.
Go into the fine details of it.
Thank you.
Dennis, I take it that it would be better for you to be able to get that permit when you wanted it. Even though it would be six times a year, you would. Did you allude to this, that kind of that you would like to be able to set those times when you want that? That one of those six
right.
sales periods.
Because, for instance, when the art center had the antiques thing in the art center a couple of weekends ago, that would be a good time for me to have a permit to allow me to put more on my sidewalk to attract all those people. Because, again, on Park Avenue, it's very difficult to get the people to make that turn and come down. Only two blocks off of Lawrence, but it's very difficult
right.
to get them to come down here. And as Lane alluded to, I spent a lot of money on advertising. And if another day goes by, somebody doesn't come in and say, that's all they can offer supply to still here. Now, you know,
right.
people,
right.
unless they're looking for it, they don't go looking down far down.
Yeah. Let me ask a quick question, Richard, and then we get to you. Are you a member of the ADDA?
I was.
You were?
I am not.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, the reason I got out of it, I was asked to be on this sign committee for the poles to go on the corners. And the group of us proposed it, everything went well. We talked with Roger, we put the signs up, we had nothing but complimentary
right.
Feedback on as far as we were concerned. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, it's gone. They're not going to do it. We don't know why. Nobody's come back, even to the members of the committee, and said, well, this is why we decided to do it. When I asked Janet what happened, a unanimous decision was made by the board to drop. Well, that doesn't answer my question. Why? Again,
yeah.
4.5 years or however long we've been doing it, I haven't been involved in it that long. It's a long time. You know, yeah. Merchants, I guarantee you, the merchants would all pay for their own. It wouldn't cost the city anything.
You know, yeah.
Maintaining somebody that can maintain them, yes, but as far as the city,
yeah.
I know I would pay for mine.
I don't think, I'm speaking for myself here, but I don't think the cost is a problem with the city. We want the business downtown. And it takes a few thousand dollars to put up signs. I don't see that would be a problem at all. Elaine, are you a member of the ADDA?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Mayor.
Have you voiced your opinion, if I may ask?
No.
Not yet?
Well, not on the board, I take it. Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Before Richard comes forward,
yeah.
What I'm hearing is that we're trying to design one cookie cutter to fit all by just having the six sales at one time. You either fit in those slots or you just don't fit. And that is not in the best interest of the merchants for them to succeed. And if we're about the business to help them succeed, then we have to help them market their product at the time that they feel that it's best for them. Ideally, as a person that would visit the downtown area, it looks nice to have everybody out at one time. But that is not in your best interest as the owner of that business. So we need to work with them in whatever way to ensure their success rather than seeing what ideally puts up a nice storefront in a uniform way downtown. So because it looks neat and tidy for us.
Yeah, it won't be very neat and tidy if they go out of business, will it?
Yeah.
I either need my sandwich board or I need a directory. You know, if I can only put a sandwich board out, you know, 30 days before a sale or something, that's not going to help me on the side of the road either.
Let me ask Wade, have you all discussed when these six periods would be? Have you gotten that far in your discussion?
I have not gotten that far along, but the determination on when the sidewalk sales are held are made by a group of members of the ADDA. It's not made by ADDA. It's, you know, don't just arbitrarily pull a date out of air and say we're going to have a sidewalk sale.
Yeah. It's made by who?
It's made by ADDA heads it up, but it's made by getting the group of the merchants together to determine when they want to have these sales. And we felt in our conversations and looking at this proposed ordinance that we, in effect, were expanding what we had. I mean, you had, what, three?
Right.
Now we're going to six. Another issue that the city, that you need to consider when you pass an ordinance is enforcement. And if you open it up to be able to do anything you want to out there, well, maybe with some controls, what I'm saying is it makes your enforcement situation much more difficult. And while we want to attract people in with sales and that type thing, we certainly don't want Aiken downtown looking like a flea market. And when you open things up, the tendency is for, you know, some people to do a good job and not take advantage of the sidewalk out in front of their business. But I bet you if you open it wide open, you'd have to get out, walk out in the road in some places because some merchants would take advantage of that situation and put their merchandise all the way out, block the sidewalk. So, you know, it's not an easy situation.
Right, it's not. There's got to be some limitation to that kind of thing that you're talking about. Yeah, a limit. Thank you, Wayne. Richard. What was the question?
I'm not sure I remember what the question is, but I think I know what the answer is. That's why you have the catch-all under number six. As far as working with merchants, council reserves the right. You know, when we're sitting here drafting these things, and Gary will no doubt back me up on this, you can live by a list and you can die by a list. So lawyers always kind of put in these catch-alls. Mm-hmm. So the items that had come up were listed before, and then under item six and item seven, we gave city council, in effect, reserves the right. If somebody wants to come and have an individual sale, that they can come before city council and you can say, yes, you can have the sale, and these are the conditions of it. So you retain that power. I mean, you can certainly draft this ordinance any way you want to. But the problem was, as we were enforcing the existing code, it was antiquated, frankly. And we had a situation where we had merchants with not just stuff by the building, but actually out in the grass with stuff on top of the grass that we had just planted. And it created a public safety issue. You know, that's why we brought the cases that we brought. And it was through that process that we determined that these revisions ought to aid us in that enforcement process.
What, so we've had some cases where there have been problems?
Right. That's right.
Where's the grass?
Down Park Avenue we have grass in front of the business.
It's a little medium.
Between the sidewalk and the curb. And we actually had items for display on that.
And was that not a violation of the existing ordinance?
We considered it a violation, and it's the more we got into that, the more we felt that this made it clearer.
Did you consider specifying that, like Mr. Fitzgerald said, that you put your items next to your building?
Well, the problem is like when we were talking about where you park next to fire hydrants. Remember when I was up here before about that? You know, why this and not that? The problem is that is all public right-of-way.
I know.
And it's an access issue. And I think
some of the concerns that have been expressed here tonight are legitimate concerns based on past experience. So, you know, could I put one item out? Should I put two items out? Should I stack them 5 deep, 10 deep? This specifically allows the 6 sales a year. And if somebody wants to come before council under item 6 and say, these are the items I want to put out, I'm willing to go by conditions, that would give council the right on a case-by-case basis so you didn't wind up with a flea market with literally items just stacked from the store to the curb. So that's why you've retained that power under item 6.
But the flea market attracts a lot of people.
They attract my father-in-law every Saturday. So you know, I understand what you're saying. But again, there's a safety issue.
No.
Not everybody's a retail establishment. You have folks that are downtown to eat. Folks are downtown to have services rendered. And they have to have access. So again, we tried to draft this in a way that if you had special cases, council could review those. Mm-hmm.
What would happen to sandwich board signs? If we pass this just the way it is, what would happen?
Those would be allowed so long as the planning department, in consultation with the public safety director, felt it was appropriate. Now, if you pass this version, this is just first reading. If you pass this version, we will have to make modifications to the zoning ordinance to reflect the city code change.
I'm sorry.
Well, the zoning ordinance, and of course Ed Evans can speak to this in more detail than can I, but the zoning ordinance doesn't allow off-premises signs. You put it on the side of the building, mm-hmm. you put it on your property, but a sandwich board is actually sitting on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So is it in the existing version, you have the planning department director consulting with the public safety director.
Richard, where is the language that says that if a merchant decides that the 6 spots does not fit his or her business, that they can come and request a...
Number 6.
Item 6.
Item 6, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Under the 36-7, uh-huh. that's 6. Other items okay. as pre-approved by Aiken City Council subject to such limits
okay.
at such locations and subject to other conditions mm-hmm. City Council okay. all time must do that.
I wanted to ask how much of the property in front of the stores do the owners own?
Zero.
No, zero.
Zero.
Is that the same thing for Park Avenue as for...
Yes, ma'am.
That's
public sidewalk.
It's public right-of-way.
Public right-of-way.
Their storefront is their right-of-way line.
I was going to say something on that, too, that I think there needs to be more definition here. Of where things can go. It's been alluded to here, but for instance, you can come out maybe 2 feet from your storefront, and then maybe you can come, then you've got your walkway, and then maybe you can come over here a little bit more, whatever it may be, so that you still leave a pathway through the middle of what you're trying to display. For instance, the places right now that have either tables or park benches have mm-hmm. those out front. Mm-hmm. So they could put things up to a certain point. You've got to have some limitation. Is it 2 feet, 3 feet, 1.5 feet, or something from the storefront? And then perhaps something out there a couple of feet where you have the benches now. I mean, if the bench takes up a certain amount of room and this other store doesn't have a bench, then that store can have something out there equivalent to where a bench would be. Some definitive things here. I don't see how in the world we can pass this thing without some definition here of how far out you come, Beverly. It hits on what you were alluding to, I think. Because as it stands right now, as I read it, you could have, we don't say how much of a walkway there should be. If you've got 6 feet out there now, we don't say that you've got to leave at least 3 feet of walkway. It's got to be some more definition here before I can support it.
And you're alluding to during sidewalk sales?
Absolutely.
Not, or are you saying during any time of the year?
Well, during any time of the year, you don't have them out there. unless we change. I mean, that's what we're up against here. Yeah, if we go with just this, you're only doing it six times a year.
Right, and you would like to see something there that there would be always at least 4 feet or 6 feet of cleared area.
During those six periods.
Right.
If we were to go with this at six periods. Leslie brought up the point, maybe we need more. Maybe are we limiting? Is six periods enough? But am I making myself clear?
You're saying that
I understand.
Even if we allowed it all the time, you don't want them going all the way across the sidewalk.
Well, there's got to be a...
And I think they do that.
How does Dennis know? Dennis and Elaine, how do they know right now, if we were to pass this thing and it becomes law on the next reading, how do they know how far out they can put stuff? If we don't tell them or have some guidelines for everybody, not just y'all, some are going to take advantage of it, like Richard said. They might leave a foot in there for somebody to walk the sidewalk a foot. Some might say, no, that's not right. I'm going to leave 2 feet in front of mine. There needs to be some limitations, I think. Else you're going to have stuff all over the place. It's going to be a mess if you don't have some direction as to what people can do there.
Can I finish? Yes, go ahead and make it.
Who has abused this to that point?
I don't know, but as sure as we say that you can put things out there, somebody is going to put it out more than others, and we'll be back talking about it sometime in the future if we don't decide that initially. If we're going to open this thing up, and I think certainly it should be opened up somewhat, then I think we've got to be able to tell our merchants. First of all, you've got to leave a pathway for people to walk. Now, how wide do you want that pathway to be? You're going to leave it up to their judgment, everybody? I don't think so. Because, as Richard said, some would say, hey, I only need maybe 2 feet for people to walk in front of my store. And they're going to put a lot of stuff out there.
I don't think that's the main problem tonight.
Huh?
I don't think that's the main issue. We need to discuss whether we're going to open it up on a daily basis. An enforcement problem.
Well, there's no enforcement. What are you going to enforce unless you have some?
Well, if they get a complaint, they'll go over there and tell them they'll have to move the merchandise.
Based on what?
A complaint.
No, Don, I think we've got to be able to tell people, show people, that these are the specs here.
I think
you can't put it out there and only leave a foot or 2 feet for people to walk.
Well, that can be settled after we decide if we're going to do it 6 days or every day. You know.
Well, to me, if I was a merchant, I'd be confused.
Well, listen, I really don't think we're prepared to tackle this ordinance tonight.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, Mr. Mayor.
I don't think so either.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
We've got an ordinance on the books that allows the restaurant to table out in front of the store. And every one of us, the fact that if you walk down there on a Thursday or a Friday evening, it's a beautiful day, and I don't want to take the tables in.
Right.
You cannot get by some of the restaurants.
Which ones, Dennis?
Well, the Bowery is the best example. And plus, the fact the city's encouraging people to drink it.
Wow, yeah.
Not the Bowery. And I walk down Park Avenue and open
Bowery.
The brewery.
The brewery, I think.
The brewery.
And you can't get by there some nights?
You can't. When there's people standing there talking to people on the table, there's a little tiny space to go by. Plus, I did that early Saturday mornings, and there's empty beer bottles on the floor.
Well, that's something else. Empty beer bottles or something else.
Well,
I'm talking about space.
Okay. I mean, there's tables out there, but I want to put a piece of concrete up against my building, and I'm not allowed to do it.
But, well, that's exactly why we're here talking about this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not a merchant. I'm not a merchant, but I think everyone here would agree that downtown is probably one of the greatest assets we have in this town. There's a very delicate balance between what we're trying to achieve in terms of regulation, what these folks who want to enhance their business want to do. But it is a delicate balance. Now, I did hear Elaine speak earlier that we should have bus tours, and I think I heard the word billboards. We don't allow billboards in the city of Aiken.
We advertise on billboards on I-20 to bring people into Aiken.
Well, I think that's an. I think the problem is we're confusing many issues here. I think everyone agrees with that. We've expanded a discussion of sidewalk sales six times a year and the regulations governing those into a much larger discussion of what's good for merchants downtown. I think those are all separate issues. Now, somebody makes a very good point. You don't want downtown Aiken to look like a flea market. Now, somebody might say flea markets are great, they attract a lot of business, but, and I will say, you said you've been to New Canaan, Connecticut. I lived for a considerable period of time adjacent to New Canaan, Connecticut. There is not all that merchandise out on the sidewalk all the time. They have sidewalk sales. Greenwich has sidewalk sales, and they're very successful. So all I would ask of the council is to consider these issues very carefully. Elaine also suggested that rising rents were a problem for the local merchants. There are entities, governmental entities, who prohibit chain stores from downtown areas. I'm not suggesting that at all, but I'm suggesting that it is a delicate balance, and you must take into consideration that if you cheapen the look of that downtown, and you want it to look like a mall, or you want it to look like something else, it will not be downtown Aiken for very long.
Hey, thank you, Ann. I agree. Yes, Wayne. Sure. Yeah, this we have a lot of fun on this one, aren't we?
Except you won't let me talk.
For the last several years, we've had these sidewalk sales, and as you know, the city officers may have had some calls. They've been very minimal, as far as I know. So I don't know that we need to make a big issue out of enforcement on the sidewalk sales. Another concern I have is when we get into saying how much space you got to leave in front of your store or what you can put out there. I can see the city staff now out there with their yardsticks measuring in front of each store, trying to make sure that nobody's in violation. And when you get into that, for years we've allowed flower boxes and encouraged it. Mm-hmm. Rotary Club did that back in the 60s. And, you know, are you going to take that flower box into consideration? You know, it's 20 inches. Can I come out another? You know, how much more can I come out? If I don't have flower boxes, do I get to come out here? So, you know, you open Pandora's box, I think.
Well, wait, you can open it if you don't do something like that. We've got to give people some kind of limitations or some kind of limits. Well, we'll have caps.
Well, in the past, the limit's been common sense, I think, on these sidewalk sales, and it's worked pretty good as far as I know. I mean, Roger can tell us if we've had any major problems. I don't think we have, really.
I think that we're complicating this whole matter with this discussion, and Wayne hit it on the head in terms of using common sense. The eatery on the corner right across from Lionel Smith, that place is busy all the time. I've never had anyone complain about being able to walk through, and I'm downtown. I'm located downtown, so I see that traffic almost daily on Lawn Street, and people enjoy eating out. And what concerns me, though, is that we allow this. This looks good for our downtown area, but if someone wants to attract someone into their antique shop or some other location that is attractive, we don't have that same kind of right for them. We assume that they're going to do something to discredit the appearance of the downtown area. We used to have sidewalk sales a lot without a lot of rules. It concerns me that there's so many rules that we're creating to tie our citizens' hands. I recognize we want the appearance to look good, we want everything to look uniform and nice and neat and tidy, but there are so many rules that we're creating for our general public that concerns me.
for small.
We will have a rule as to whether you can walk down the right side of the street or the left side of the street.
Oh, I don't think we'll do that, Leslie. I think that's a little bit stretch.
Maybe what we should do is not, I don't know, I'm just thinking this through like you are, is not have the rules and see, like Lane says, have we had any problems? Really? And see what we can always address a problem. There's nothing that says we can't.
I think part of the reason that this is before council is because there have been enforcement issues, and when the issues have gone to the city judge, there have been problems with the enforcement of the ordinance. Am I right on that, Richard?
Right.
I think that's part of the reason why this ordinance is before you, is to clarify that so that when we do go to enforce it in the city court, that the questions are answered appropriately.
You don't have to. I'd be interested in knowing what those cases were and what the... and what the violation was, yeah, and how many.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Pete can get that information for whoever wants it.
And again, most of the time we've been able to, like the hardware store downtown, we've asked them, they frequently would have their go-karts pushed too far on the sidewalk, and so every once in a while we say, you need to get the go-karts back further. Mm-hmm. There's been other areas like with the antique store on Park Avenue where some items were put in the grassed area. And, you know, the question is that in violation or is that not in violation? And the current ordinance we have is very unclear. We could go ahead and continue the way we are. We just need direction from City Council as to what would you like in the downtown area. You asked for direction from ADDA, and they gave, there's a letter here in direction as to what they thought. But again, we need direction from you. I know, the signage is being looked at. It's taken an awful long time. I wish I could say that's going to come back in the next few months, but the rate is going to probably be many more months. Or you could just say, City of Aiken, staff, you take care of it. But give us direction as to, if you want us to go back and look at this, give us some direction, especially on, do you want to limit or not limit sales of merchandise on the sidewalk? And the other major areas on these temporary directional sandwich board signs. Do you want to go ahead and limit them or not limit them? If you don't want to limit them, and then we're going to have to change the zoning ordinance, because right now we've had other merchants in other areas of the city, not in the downtown. One I can remember was the Sleep Inn. They wanted to put a directional sign on Whiskey Road pointing where the Sleep Inn was at. We've had the same thing with Fairfield Suites, because they're off the road. And we said, no, you can't do that. They even went to BZA and asked for permission. The BZA said no. So we would have to define, and maybe in the downtown area, there'd be a special situation you could have these types of signs. But again, we're kind of stuck in the middle as far as what to do and how to do it.
Well, right now, this would apply to the whole city?
This ordinance would apply to the whole city, correct.
Yeah.
But again, the vast majority of your places are on private property. Only is your downtown on public property.
Mm-hmm.
As far as these the merchandise and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, I do want to finish what I had started to say earlier about the businesses downtown. When you go into Lionel Smith, you go directly from the sidewalk into the store. When you go into Jeans, is it still Jeans?
Mm-hmm.
And the Loft of Lawrence, you have this this area where it's recessed.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And they have more space outside than some of the other stores.
Correct.
But perhaps I would imagine less space inside because the depth of the building might mm-hmm. be less. So in essence, they have less space inside and more space outside, and that's why I ask, what do they own? And you're saying where the glass stops is what they own. They don't own anything outside, and yet they cover with the awning all of that.
In those cases, they do own to where the rest of the front of the store is. So that
okay. So
they can put stuff out there they want to.
That they do own
correct.
Up to where the top part of the building
correct.
Covers the yes. the recess part. So that answers that question. The other thing is that this is just an ordinance on sidewalk sales. And I think my concern is for the gentleman who does not belong to ADDA, but I still think he should have a say when the group gets together and calls all these businesses together and say to them, let's go to the auditorium and let's decide when we're going to have the 6th sidewalk sale. Whether you're a member of ADDA or not, you should have a say. You should have input into when you can have these sidewalk sales. And you might find that that's going to work better than what we're thinking is going to work just sitting here. It might be that they will agree on 6 good times to have sidewalk sales, springtime, Christmas time, all the different times that you could think of, that they could agree on at least 6. Now, if somebody needs to have one above that, number 6, and I believe number 7 in some respect, says...
It's up to the ADDA sentence.
Petition us.
Thursday through Saturday.
And I can assure you that if it's if it makes sense to you, it'll probably make sense to the majority of us, and you're probably going to get to have your sidewalk sale. So I think that... that this is just on sidewalk sales, but I did have a question about it. I did read in here that it says it's citywide, not just in these areas marked by the boundaries here. And if it is citywide, what do we do with all the lawnmowers and stuff out in front of Walmart and places like that? What do we do about that?
Walmart actually owns their parking lot.
Well, they own the parking lot.
Walmart owns their parking lot. That's private property.
But it's outside the building.
But it's owned private property.
Well, Mr. Mayor.
And that is controlled by the zoning ordinance. Does have provisions for outdoor displays of things on private property. The zoning ordinance does have specific provisions about it.
But I just think that that maybe we don't need an ordinance for them to get together and decide when they want to have 6 sidewalk sales. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I think we've got an ordinance now that, what, says 3? Up
right.
To 3?
Yes.
So we've got an ordinance, Beverly. So whether or not we need it, that's something else. But
okay,
we've
well,
got one. So we need to change it if we're going to change it.
So is that the only thing we're changing, the number? It doesn't look like that's the only thing we're changing.
No, oh no, Temporary signs, directional signs, sandwich boards. I don't know that the other one says those things, does it?
No.
So even though we say we're changing the ordinance for sidewalk sales, we're actually changing all these other things in here, so it's more than just the sidewalk sale ordinance.
Five seems to me to be the biggest part of the problem right here, and Roger mentioned that early on. It is too vague. I could ask, temporary, does that mean every day I can put out a temporary sign and take it in at night? That's
the way I read it.
It's at least 30 days before.
Yeah, that's the way I read it.
No, but it doesn't say anything. Okay.
It's 30 days. As I read it, it's 30 days before the sale starts. See, the 30 days in advance, and it doesn't say in advance.
All of these are subsets.
And I'm assuming that's before it starts.
30 days in advance.
And if it's a week or 3 or 4 days, then you've got it up there 30 days plus the time of the sale. That's the way I read this. And then it comes down until the next one. That's the way I'm reading it. Is that
so?
Anybody else read it?
Those temporary signs are going to be there only during the pre-approved or one of the 6 sales.
I think that's the way it's set up here.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it never says how long the signs can stay up there.
Well,
they could ask for them 30 days in advance. They may ask and say, well, we'd like to keep it up there for the next 60 days.
Well, it ought to be in here to give somebody some guidelines.
Yeah, and we'll get that. But first of all, we need to know if you even want temporary signs to be allowed. We need to know whether or not you want to just leave it at 6 sidewalk sales, or if you want merchandise to be allowed to be out there every day in a certain area, just like you allow the tables to be out there right now for restaurants. You want merchandise to be left out there or to be carried out every day for every day of the year,
limited to a certain space.
Don't they have to get a permit to put the tables out there too?
They have to pay, I think it's $50 a year to get a permit to put them out there. You know, if somebody asked us, why $50? I don't know why it's chosen to be $50 and why we even have a fee. I mean, it doesn't...
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Just to fill out the paperwork and the permit. But, you know, there is a fee. But that's really the crux of the question, is what does this council want here? And then we could craft the language to better define what you want.
Have you know what I want? I want what those business owners want, and I don't know what they want.
I just want to make a comment. How many stores downtown do you think are flea market-y? I challenge anybody to come into my store and see what it looks like. And I don't think there's anything
that's right
out there
that would be flea market-y. Very tasteful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't use that term.
No, but yeah, I'm sure everybody considered that.
Right.
I think they might even do a good job of policing each other. I think they want downtown to stay viable and lively. And
they do tell on each other. Come to ADDA meeting.
I assume number five, the sign thing, I agree with Dick. This is probably the hiccup here a little bit. Mm-hmm. Number five. This is silly, but I guess that means you can only have one of these different types of signs. If you got a sandwich board sign, that's what you get. If there's some other kind of sign, that's what you get, but not a combination of several signs in front of each store. Doesn't say that, but...
But like, you could have a flyer.
I would interpret the word "or" to say it's one or the other. It's not just
or okay or other temporary. Okay. You answered it, Gary, I think.
What?
Okay.
And again, right now, a merchant. Give you a good example: the Goodyear store, as you enter on Eastgate Drive next to Chick-fil-A, at times is wanting to put out some signage. And no, they can't do that at that store. They couldn't have a temporary, even on their banner and stuff has to be up against the building in those locations. This is kind of a very unique situation we have in the downtown area. When the directional signs someday get put up, and I believe they someday will get put up, that may take care of a large part of the problem. But until that's done, and even after it's done, you still may want to have sandwich boards out there either under certain circumstances, or maybe you want to allow them all the time.
You said something about the city putting up directional signs without waiting on everything so long.
I mean, if that's what council desires to do, we went ahead. It took a lot of effort on the part of public safety to make up those directional signs. We got them up within about a 10-day period. I heard nothing but positive remarks on it. But then again, as we reported, the next ADDA meeting, there was a vote saying, let's take them down because there's too much confusion on it. And let's study it and get a more comprehensive approach in looking at it.
Well, they were put up for a temporary purpose anyway. Yeah, to see how it worked, doing Christmas, see what the feedback was.
That's what council wanted us to do.
And it was meant to be temporary at that point in time. Leading up to finding out how folks felt about it. I keep coming back to the thought here, this applies to all over the city limits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, we could craft this ordinance to say just in the DB area. And okay. that can be very simply put.
Right. Well, I think we ought to do that. Can you see sandwich boards all over the city limits?
And I don't think that's what council wants.
No.
This is a very special, unique area of our city.
Mr. Mayor, I have another lady I think wants to say something. Colleen.
Colleen Reed. I'm a member of the ADDA, and I'm also working with the signage for downtown, and we have the design committee. We're having our meeting this Thursday. We've had students from USC Aiken who have made presentations to us about different types of signage and kiosks to identify businesses downtown, and we should be making decisions, I'm hoping, on Thursday that we can bring back to you within the very near future. I mean, this is a very high priority for the ADDA.
Very good. Thank you, Colin.
Can we table this?
Very good.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, what would you like to do?
Table.
Okay, all right. Do we have a motion and a second?
First.
So moved.
Second.
All right. Everybody seconded it. Okay. Show of hands, all in favor. Okay.
Can I ask, when you say table, do you want us to bring it back up again?
Yes.
Or is this just...
Yes.
Well, I want to hear a report from this group and then have it brought back up.
Which group is this group?
The USCA, whoever, ADDA.
ADDA signs.
I would like some study of the tree situation downtown and how that affects the businesses and also what other kind of trees could you do there?
Well, the trees add—I know they shed a lot, but they add the charm, and so whatever we put back in as a substitute. We need to consider that as well, but we've gotten a lot of compliments about the challenge as well, so I don't know.
Would it be possible, I don't know, if we sort of, I want to hear from more merchants if possible, and sometimes it's very hard for them to get to a particular meeting, and I was thinking if, I don't know how we could do this, if we could just like sort of have this as an item of discussion for the next couple of meetings, and you could tell your fellow merchants, look, see, I mean, maybe just for a short time and at the end of the meeting or at the beginning of the meeting, I don't know, and just tell your fellow merchants, write us, or if you've got input, if you've got ideas and suggestions, City Council really wants to know what these are, you know, and we do.
Well, we put it as a work session item for the next several meetings
and
take 30 minutes to talk about it or whatever and get more input.
Announce it as a public hearing and invite all the merchants to come, whether they're ADDA or not.
Sure.
Okay, so for the next season of time, and I don't know how long the next season's going to take, we will not restrict merchandise being outside storefronts, and we will allow these sandwich signs. Because currently there's some question whether that's allowed or not allowed, and that was the whole thing for tonight. So by tabling it, you would like
to go with the status quo.
Is that enough direction for you, Mr. Fromer?
Well, do they still, I mean, if they see a dangerous situation, they obviously have the right to do something about it. Yeah.
I'm sorry to drag this on, but we need some direction as staff so that we know.
I don't think businesses want to place themselves in a liability situation.
And I think our stance now is, of course, anything we see on the sidewalk, if it's a hazard, we're going to ask them to remove it. But right now, the way it stands, we don't allow them to put anything on the sidewalk that is for sale. You know, if they have benches or planters, whatever. There's some tables and chairs. But pretty much we tell them if it's for sale, it cannot go on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's according to our ordinance, right?
It's how we interpret.
That's the way we interpret the ordinance.
That's how we interpret.
Yeah. Until we get this resolved.
How can you interpret? I could put a chest of drawers and I had no intention of selling it on the sidewalk. I mean, why does it
carry
to have a bench and a little old lady sitting on it versus me having a nice piece of furniture sitting there?
Okay. Well, that's exactly why we into this subject. I mean, all these things keep coming up, and that's why this isn't ready to be passed right now, I think. But in the meantime, Department of Public Safety has got to enforce something. And they've got an ordinance to enforce. Pete, you're doing your job, right?
Correct.
You're doing what we've asked you to do.
Correct.
Now, whether that's, I mean, it's in accordance with what we've got. And we're in the process of looking to see what we need to change. So whether we like it or not, we've got an ordinance. And it seems to me we're going to have to live with it until council comes back and changes it.
And are you close?
Or else maybe our other ordinances are not any good either, if we're just going to let the thing slide.
And again, I just want council to be aware as to what we're interpreting that ordinance right now. The other thing is on the sandwich signs. Are you clear as to what your...
As far as I know, because the sign ordinance does not allow them now.
Well, they're out there right now. Okay. So are we clear?
Let's leave them.
So we grandfathered him.
Unless council wants to decide, I guess, on a temporary basis, you can.
Until we get some directional signs, I really think they're necessary down here.
Okay.
I think what I would like to see, Mr. Mayor, is probably two things. One is, you have a committee working on the signs for downtown so that they won't feel that they need to put something up to identify their businesses, that you would be able to see where they are and read their signs. And I may have misunderstood Colleen, but I think that you're getting closer to that.
Yes, absolutely.
You're meeting Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. And that's as quick as we could have a first and second reading, anyway. Okay? The next thing is that I think what I'd like is for the merchants themselves to get together. And if it's in a work session with us, then that's fine. But I'd like to see them get together and come up with what we could do that they could live with that would be good for business. And if it's within the ordinance, then we craft it in such a way that it makes it palatable for them and for the safety of the people who must walk downtown. Because people who walk downtown want one of two things, food or merchandise.
Or just to walk.
Yeah.
Walk the dog.
But I think there's enough common sense in this town for us to get this solved within the next month, without too many people having to go to court.
Yeah, but we need to be clear that we've got an ordinance, and that's the law.
Table doesn't mean permanent. It means we can bring it back up, and so we could do that.
And that's the only reason why I was trying to get something tonight, so that we'd have a little more guidance to staff as to what is allowed or not allowed. If we will strictly by the ordinance, these sandwich signs that are popping up are not allowed. And
I don't know that I agree with that.
Well,
it's already
it's a regulation, and it's in there
place now,
and it's against the zoning ordinance to have sandwich signs.
So this ordinance would allow them to go to the planning director and, in conjunction with Department of Public Safety, get a permit to allow some signage.
Correct.
In connection with the six.
Not always necessarily.
Well,
but again, we can go ahead and we can massage this language around to get it so that temporary signs can be put up there for a period of time. Again, hopefully the committee that Colleen's on could get a recommendation, and then they can decide where and what, you know, to actually implement. It may take several more months, but putting these directional signs still may not solve the problem. You know, you can have directional signs, and we still might want to have some sandwich signs out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think
I know you want to table it, but a little direction would be helpful on me working with staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I know what council wants, but you're asking staff to make some unauthorized decisions, according to Mr. Smith, who I just asked.
But even if we had passed this tonight, nothing would have changed.
Correct. We're that much closer, and the intent
right.
then it
was more 2 weeks away. Though.
2 weeks closer?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Mayor.
And that is, yeah.
I made the motion, and I want to withdraw that motion to table this at this time.
Well, we've already tabled it.
You're actually moving to reconsider, right?
Reconsider
the motion for table.
Right.
Okay.
And a majority of council have to agree to
and
that.
And the motion is to adopt this so that we can give staff some sort of guidance with some modification.
You need to do the motion for reconsideration first.
Move that we reconsider the ordinance as presented.
The tabling of the ordinance.
We've got a second. Okay. Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Can I, before you do that, the reason I'm asking is on behalf of staff. Although this is not a perfect ordinance, and some changes are going to have to be made in it to better define the temporary signs and the activities that are out there, I will go ahead and make sure that staff works on that portion over the next few weeks to hopefully give you something more of what I'm hearing you say tonight. One, it brings it 2 weeks closer, but also it gives me and staff the intent as to the direction that council wants to go, and I feel a lot more the ability to talk to public safety to allow things to continue as they are until the time we do something. But if we table it, you know, tabling could be for a long period of time.
Are we going to have a work session where we listen to merchants?
I'll go ahead and schedule us on a work session next time. Change the language so it's on second reading. Again, second reading, you could modify that language again. Mm-hmm. But right now, the way it's written, 3 times a year is it on sidewalk sales. Merchandise should not be out there otherwise for sale. There's no sandwich signs allowed out there. It's even some question whether park benches and flowers could be out there. And this defines and says park benches and flowers and the things that you want out there is definitely defined as being allowed. Mm-hmm. And then allows also the sandwich signs. It also allows more sales. We'll see if we can craft up something, and I'll talk to Pete. What if that merchant, like Mr. Fitzgerald said, during when the Heart of Aiken has their antique show, to allow those antique dealers to come to public safety and make that request. Mm-hmm. You know, to allow some flexibility in there. We'll work on it.
So we'll go ahead with this, and then we'll have second reading on whatever with the new language. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Jane, we'll have the work session, too. We want people to know that, hey, we're doing this for the reasons that Roger mentioned, but we're also looking at other things to make it correct, make it more better. Make it more better? Make it better. Okay, we have a motion and second.
A motion for reconsideration.
Yes, for reconsideration. All in favor? Everybody, okay, it's unanimous.
And now the motion.
Now you need a motion for the ordinance.
Now the motion is to adopt this ordinance on first reading, amending Chapter 36 of the City Code regarding sidewalks, sales in the downtown area.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion?
Is it going to apply just to downtown? Are we going to say that?
Yes, this will be. It'll be defined as just the downtown. There will be a work session. We will work on item number 1 and item number 5, which is talking about the seasonal sidewalk sales not to exceed 6, and number 5 being the temporary directional signs. And we'll even look at maybe trying to come up with during these sales that there needs to be a minimum of 4 feet or 6 feet of open space for people to walk through in any one particular area. Mm-hmm. We'll try to give mm-hmm. some direction on that too, and probably on the directional or temporary signs. I believe it needs to have some size attached to it. So what you may think is a sandwich sign of 12 inches by 18 or 24 by 36, somebody else may say, well, I've got 4 feet by 8 foot plywood. And I'll make a sandwich sign out of that. Or they might want to put something inappropriately on it that may be kind of cute. I think like Cuisines has some can-can girls on it. Well, again, how far do you go on something?
Yeah, you can work on that. We'll work on that one.
All right. Let's call it
motion. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Pass it unanimous. Okay. First reading. Be set for second reading next meeting.
Yay.
Okay, item 7. Resolution approving purchase of property in Tule Hill. Mr. Reddick.
Yes, sir. Hopefully this will be a little bit easier. We have a piece of property that we'd like to purchase in the Tule Hill area, right near the Pinecrest area. This is at Morgan Street and Hampton. We feel that once you subdivide this, there would make 3 lots. You have an aerial view of this. There is one really old structure that will be taken down.
Right?
And it's a really nicely wooded piece of property at that location. So we'll recommend the purchase of it for $23,000 from Cyril Polk Wayne.
How big is this property, Roger?
Roughly. I think I said here it's...
It's in here somewhere, probably.
I have to get my glasses on to look at that little print.
But it's good for three single-family houses?
Mm-hmm. It's about 3/4 acre when you get into it. It's approximately 200 feet by 200 feet.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit smaller on a couple of the different sizes. It's not an exact square.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have a motion?
Some second, sir.
We have a second to any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Anybody have anything else? Yes, sir, Dennis.
They're going to enforce it. No merchandise on the sidewalk. And they didn't do
that. That is correct.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Okay.
That's right.
They're going to enforce the A-frame sign.
Right. We have not been enforcing that, and I'm going to talk to public safety about not enforcing that until we get this result.
So,
right. Right.
That is correct.
I think we can stay status quo here for two more weeks. Right.
That is my intent.
Right. Okay. Thank you. We stand adjourned.
Sorry.
Thank you for untaping it last night. Every great city is every side.